Still can't hear you at all. Still can't hear you at all.
I had to power up my mic. Sorry.
That's what she said. How did the Unique Geek Halloween-y podcast-y thingy go?
It went well. It will be posted by the time folks hear this particular podcast. So, Rox was on it. So was Lee for like 5 minutes. Ron was on it. So was Carrie and Ed and myself.
I think Ed was upset that I was not on it.
Uh-oh.
What, the Halloween thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was just telling the dear listeners that it will be up on the uniquegeek.com by the time they hear this particular podcast.
Woo! Halloween! I don't have scissors.
It's probably
a
good
thing.
Why don't
I have scissors? No, I need them. Damn. Huh. Oh, so John, what's your kids going as Halloween?
My son is going as Evan Longoria, and my daughter is going as Katniss.
As what?
Katniss from Hunger Games.
The girl from that cute movie.
Oh, that cute movie. Yeah. All right. I didn't see it yet.
It's
still
cute.
Is it cute? That's right. You
serves happy whenever kids die.
The more kids that die, the better.
Every time a child dies,
cracks a smile.
Yeah, something like that. Oh my gosh! So John, so okay.
Oh my gosh, what?
All right,
like,
so
you wouldn't believe it.
Did your kids see the trailer for what is it? Rising Guardians, Guardian Rising, something like that.
Mm-mm.
It looks cool.
What is it?
Oh no,
it's a DreamWorks film.
It's
what?
It's about all the holiday folks fighting evil,
kicking ass.
Did you see the trailer for Iron Man 3?
No.
Yes. I just watched it a couple minutes ago.
That looked badass.
It looks pretty good.
This DreamWorks one looks good. I actually downloaded the books because I've read that guy's work before. William Joyce. It's really good. He did Santa Calls.
William Joyce also did The Robot.
Meet the Robinsons.
Yeah, and it was, yeah, and a cartoon we used to, Meet the Robinsons, by the way, is a fantastic film. I can't recommend it enough for anybody. Anyway, what do you call it? Roly Poly Oly, that was the name of the...
Yeah, he got an Emmy, a couple Emmys for that.
Yep. My kids used to, my daughter, because my son, it was before my son's time, she watched it all the time. He's Roly Poly Oly. He's starting. Burr, burr, burr. And when you do. Burr, 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 and do. Burr, 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 burr.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean?
Anyway, Santa Calls is a cool story. I like that one. Because they have like this airship and they go to the North Pole from Abilene, Texas.
When Santa calls, you better listen.
That's right. That's right. And. The cool thing is he actually wound up getting, like, I think they did a Saks Fifth Avenue, and I actually saw this in New York City during the winter of Santa Calls. So they actually did, Saks Fifth Avenue did his book in the window. It's cool.
Ho, ho, death.
Ho, ho, death. Don't mess with the big guy. Anyway. Anyway, I'm kind of excited about that.
Well, let me ask you.
Yes?
You being the Apple fan that you are, what do you think of Mini?
I don't know. Okay. I've got one. Well, I got an iPad, so not... You know what? I think it's Apple had to do this to break into.
But they still didn't.
No, I know they still didn't, and I kept saying they need to make a pad that's $250. That is the breaking point for somebody. Okay, my coworker, him and his wife, you know, they do okay. They have a new little boy. You know, he's like 2 now.
Oh,
2.
You just made Serve sad.
Oh, sorry. And they're willing to spend on a Nexus 7, like about $250. That is the average, if you're, you know, median income, that you're willing to throw money away. $250.
Yeah,
Apple still did not do that. They should have lowered it down to 250.
Right. Well, you know, and
so to me, this is not a game changer because it was still $100 more. It should have been 250. That is the median.
If you had bought a new iPad, would you be pretty ticked off right now?
No.
Well, they turned around and put out a new one 6 months later.
No, because comic books honestly look better if you're going that route. They're much more proportional on an iPad than an iPad mini. Or even
No. What I meant was, what I guess what I'm referring to is that they released a new version of the iPad 3. So but they had just put the
I have
new
one.
No, they had just put the new iPad out, what, 6 months ago? 7 months ago?
Yeah.
And now they put out another 10-inch iPad.
Just now?
Yeah, that came out today. At the same time.
What's different about that?
I don't know what
I didn't even pay attention. See, that's how much I don't care.
Well, you know, and here's the deal. You're right. The 250, the breaking point for that is whatever. And I know that they were making a big deal out of, oh well, we have more real estate than this other tablet. You know,
right.
By, you know, I don't know. Not very much, but but they aren't even close to the resolution. I mean, they're still, you know, they've got 35% less pixels. So, I mean, yeah, you can have more real estate, but if you don't have the scale on it, you can scale better on a higher resolution device.
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
So anyway.
So basically, you're buying a really high-end Nook or Kindle.
Not even then, because the Kindle HD beats it out the gate on specs.
It does, yeah.
And it's $199.
Everybody, my coworker's going to go with a Nexus 7 when they come back in stock.
Yeah, I bought one for my wife. And in fact, I actually make sure your coworker doesn't buy anything until next week, because they're going to announce the 32-bit or 32-gig version is going to be $250 now. Likely. In addition, there's rumors that there'll be a Nexus 7 that's actually $99.
Wow.
It'll probably be like an 8-gig version. It'll probably be the 8-gig version as $99, and they'll jack.
But $99, you can't even get an 8-gig anything.
Right. And you know, I deal with this all day long, but you know, I was kind of thinking, why is everyone so like trying to beat themselves up over this? I mean, okay, so why is Apple going into 7-inch market? But then I read an article and it pointed out is that if you can get, say, someone into a 7-inch tablet, a cheaper tablet, a less expensive tablet,
yeah,
you get them. The big deal is getting them into your ecosystem.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Once they're there, they're locked in for they're likely locked in for the next, you know, 5 or more years, right?
They are. Because the thing is here's how that would work. Okay, say you don't buy a warranty. Say you don't buy an AppleCare thing, okay? And I ran into this on my iTouch. I bought it at Best Buy. I didn't buy the warranty. However, the battery was not doing what I really wanted to do, which was, you know, that you could take pictures all day long. And it would be like half the time and all of a sudden the battery's dying. Well, you know, to replace a battery, I think it cost me like, what, $70 or so, which was fine. Basically what they did was they gave me the same model. Here you go. So yeah, you are kind of in that that sort of merry-go-round thing. So that, oh, look, here comes something new. You know, the weird thing is I don't think I like the new iTouch. I don't think I'm going to get one of the new ones for like a number of years because, A, I'm one of those people, I spend a fortune on fucking cases all the time. Okay, everybody's seen my leather case. That was like $75 because that was hand-done. And I bought one of those books for my little iTouch. And that was like, that wasn't cheap either. That was like $60. So it's like, you're going to wrap yourself. You're going to kill yourself just making your items look unique because they're all the same. So yeah, once you hook them, they're in it, you know, for.
Right. And even if you were to go and, you know, want to go try something else, all of your stuff is stuck in Apple's world.
Yeah.
All your applications that you paid for, all your music, all your. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, what are we bitching about? I want to join in.
Only,
we're doing the Apple Mini and stuff.
Only buy from Amazon's MP3 catalog, non-DRM. And you can get there by going where, Widge?
Needcoffee.com/Amazon. Why? What's the deal with the Mini? You can't move anything to the Mini?
Oh, no.
We're talking about... on how, you know, big corporations hook you onto their products forever.
Yeah, like once you've, you know, got an Apple product, then you're kind of... Well, the same goes for anything, even Amazon.
Right,
You're kind of stuck in their ecosystem for at least, you know, we're talking about like 5 years or whatever.
Oh, I know. I was stuck in like Palm Pilot land for a good number of years before I made the switch over to Apple. No, what we're talking about is, okay, here's the Mini, and I've said this all along. Just talking to people with median incomes, middle of the road, people that could, you know, that they have a certain amount of savings, you know, the sort of people that are doing okay, but they're not extravagant. $250 is their breaking point of I will break down and I will buy this.
Right.
The iPad, time and time again, you know, even my sister, she bought my old first iPad because I was able to trade it in because I had the warranty. So it was basically new. It was a new first one. And I sold it to her for like around $250 to give to her husband because they're like, yeah, we would like it. They all have Kindles because they're cheap. They're $200. We can get three of them for the price of one iPad. So they jumped, my sister jumped on the chance of when I said, well, I'm going to sell it. And she's like, oh, we'll buy it from you. I'm like, oh, okay. So. Because I had the price point of $250. We could spend $250 on this toy. You know, because that's like, what, how much is an Xbox? It's around $250.
Well, actually now they're like $99.
Well, I know, but yeah. People would jump on it because it was $250.
Serious game player, but.
So Apple still screwed themselves by putting it at $350.
Well, 330, but yeah.
Well, whatever.
It might as well be 350.
It's now,
right?
I know, but now it's at the point. Here's the thing: $250. This is Susie Orman show. Okay, all right, $250.
Oh, hold on, wait. Can I call in? Can you be Susie?
Yes, I can. No, if you want to, what is that show? What is her segment? Can I afford it? No, you
can't.
Oh,
God, as long as you're not Kim Commando or whoever the fuck that is.
No.
What?
I'm supposed to tell you all how much I have in savings.
Yes, you do. What is your assets? How much you have? How much your expenses?
I don't have any money saved.
Then no. Sorry.
I own a house, but I'm like 3 weeks behind or 3 months behind on paying.
Okay. Oh God! You know what this reminds me of is
my life. Wait, no.
Yeah. Well, no. Yeah. Well, to a certain extent. No, but even more than that is you know what's funny about Saturday Night Live is that it's normally so bland that when something's actually really fucking funny, it sticks in your mind forever. Have you noticed that?
Uh huh.
Okay, I'm just thinking of that Steve Martin bit where they have the book about how to get out of debt. And it was, and the entire thing was, the entire book said, don't pay for stuff you can't afford. And they kept coming back. So let me get this straight. So I shouldn't take out a second mortgage. Should I take a second mortgage out and like get that new prosthetic leg that I wanted? No, don't buy for stuff you can't afford. Okay, I get that, but what if I wanted a jet ski? It was like 5 minutes nothing but every single scenario that we could probably point to someone. Yeah, oh God, it was fucking brilliant.
Her show is like that. This one segment off of Susie Orman's just like that. Except that one weird time, some guy wanted a first edition Alice in Wonderland book. First edition, $16,000.
Oh. Holy shit. What did she say?
And she said, you can afford it. Because here's the thing. The guy he was already retired. He had, I don't know, like $250,000 in like immediate mutual funds. He had a bunch of money socked away. His house was paid off. She's like, yeah, go ahead. You can afford it.
And that person was served.
Yeah. So anyway, getting back to my $250 breaking point. Okay. This is where
we've reached her breaking point. It costs $250.
This is where Apple screws up, because we all know one simply doesn't just use an iPhone without a case.
One does not simply walk into iPhone.
Exactly. The thing is they already know people will buy a case. People will buy something else, you know. So they screwed themselves. They could have lowered it to $250, knowing people will spend the $50 on some crap piece of cover.
You know, Ross, I don't think that's the point, though.
What is
or $30 on the adapter? But anyway,
I think the point isn't to have a price point where people will actually buy the thing. The point is to have a price point where people don't think about buying the Surface.
Yeah. Well. Okay.
So, well, hang on. So
now, first of all, I have to take that back and just try to imagine that someone out there wants the fucking Surface, but.
Yeah.
Well, the price point immediately says screw Surface.
Well, the thing is, we were also talking about a lot of people, and I looked at the reviews, the Nexus 7. It's been getting great reviews.
Yeah.
And so has actually the Nook HD, and so has the Kindle HD. They've all been doing a lot better.
Actually, you know what's really good is if you take an original Kindle Fire and mod it with Jelly Bean.
Oh, you have Jelly Bean? I only have Ice Cream Sandwich.
That's really cool. But, yeah.
Yeah, on mine, I could only get a Vegemite sandwich.
Hey, Mrs. Dr. Service eats those.
Really?
Does she really?
Yeah, her mom's an Aussie, and she grew up with it.
Oh, so she comes from a land down under.
Hold on a second, real quick. She's not a vegetarian, is she?
Jen, she was, until she married me.
And then she has to eat all the meat.
Serve gets the points. Hell yes.
Thank you.
Unless I am not mistaken, that's a sexual reference.
Yes, indeed. It is. All right. So here is my question. Is okay. First of all, what the Surface toughly
of the moon.
Yeah,
which isn't to be confused with Surface.
Surface that what was that, a CBS miniseries that became a miniseries because they canceled it after 3 episodes?
Wasn't that a Stallone movie?
I think it might be. I like the sequel Resurface, where they basically just stripped off the plot and revarnished it.
Yeah, Bob Vila designed it, didn't he?
Although I think at the time Stallone came with a keyboard too, nobody could use.
So okay. So the Surface is, and I haven't been paying attention to the Surface because it's a Microsoft product. The Surface is their tablet. Is that what that is, Tuffley?
Yeah. That's pretty much all you need to know, really. It's their tablet. It's their, you know,
well, here's
flailing answer to something. I'm not sure.
Go ahead, John.
Well, I was going to say, never count Microsoft out. Whatever
no,
you do.
I mean,
oh, I'm not. I just got finished playing Xbox, so no.
and my understanding is that I'm still on Vista because I'm just lazy. But all the Windows 7 installations that I've looked at and done for folks, it's actually worked as well as like XP was supposed to. So yeah, eventually they get it right. And they have money and the time to just kind of fuck around until, because they have the customer base. So if they fuck you over three or four iterations, no one cares.
I understand this whole the surface thing. I remember years and years ago, before anybody discussed tablets, I remember on the Today Show, Bill Gates was on, and they showed like a large format version of Surface. And it took them this long to actually come out with a tablet? That's sad. That's really, it's like, they don't, it's like, oh, look, we innovated this really cool thing, you know, and they were doing the whole hand swipe things, just like in Minority Report.
Yeah, I remember thing. That.
Well, and nothing came of it. It's like, you guys should have started making tablets.
Don't make the mistake of confusing the Surface with the Surface. Because there was another product called the Surface, which was actually meant for big companies, and you see, there's a lot of restaurants in Las Vegas that have it,
right? Okay,
where you set your drink down and things like that.
Didn't they bring the Surface to market? That table version? Aren't they actually selling that?
Well, they might be, but you and I aren't going to buy it anytime soon.
Yeah,
but I know they put it in a lot of restaurants.
I can't afford the table version of Galaga that I want, so fuck the Surface.
Can you afford the tabletop version of Checkers?
No. Because
all I have to do is steal them from Cracker Barrel. God.
Which requires going to Cracker Barrel.
Hey, I like Cracker Barrel.
Racist.
I do too, actually.
Racist.
Yeah. What?
Hey, it could have been worse. You could have been talking about shooting crackers in a barrel.
Do you immediately go from Cracker Barrel over to Chick-fil-A? Is that what you do?
Right, exactly.
Wow. Wait,
or possibly stopping at Denny's also.
Ooh.
but the funny thing is, in all three of those cases, you're being served immediately.
Yes. I have no worries, so it's all good.
All right. So, okay. So here is my question, though, about the price point is that because Rox, if I understand you correctly, your thing is that at $250, you're going to get a lot more people to buy the product than $350. Now here is my thing. Do they want that?
Because I doubt.
Because part of Apple's thing is that we are the next step up. We are what you want if you're like serious. We want people to buy these things that will pay $350, so all their friends who can't pay $350 envy them.
Well, no, you want them in your ecosystem. That's the only reason why they're releasing a 7-inch, iPad in the first place. That's cheaper or less expensive,
right?
Is because they want people to be in their ecosystem. Because, like I said, once you're locked in, once you start buying apps, once you start buying music through them, you're stuck. You're there. Right, yeah. That's it. You're done.
But you see, I think you can have it both ways. I think, John, your point is very well taken because you're right. I mean, you buy in and you buy in. If you go that route, I mean, I'm with you. I go like non-DRM all the way, and I don't actually buy that many apps because frankly I haven't found that many worth buying, but like for the iPad or the Android,
Android might be a little different experience.
No, but you know what I mean. I mean, before, to be fair,
on your Android, your app, the apps buy you.
That's that's so true. But I think there is something for the ecosystem, but there's also something for because Apple is, to me, they're all about envy.
Because
every single time they are like, oh, well, we've sold out of the whatever it is, right? No, they haven't. They haven't. They limit the shipments to make people go ape shit for it and actually claw over their own grandmother to like get at it, you know, like, 0 day or whatever. I mean, it makes absolutely no sense to me. So I think it goes both ways. It's like, you know, we'll get you into the ecosystem. And if you are a $350 person, you're obviously going to buy more into the ecosystem than a $250 person. But also we are going to own the minds of everyone around you. Which I think to Apple, because they are insidious. Don't get me wrong. I understand they are. I think that they get off on that, you know?
I would agree.
Hey, Serv.
Yes.
What kind of tablet do you use?
Generally, I like the legal pad. I like the yellow ones.
Who makes
ones.
That? Who puts it out? Asus?
I think it's Steno.
Steno.
Now, Serv, you did say at one point you were going to upgrade to a Woolly Willy. Did you ever do that?
Man, I love Woolly Willy.
I knew you'd catch that, Rox.
Is that an upgrade or a sidestep from an Etch-a-Sketch?
It's a sidestep.
Okay. Yeah, I think. Yeah, I think the problem with the Woolly Willy is that then if you put the magnetic wand near somebody's iPad, you could like make holes in their data. We make holes in data.
I don't. And know. Unless I am not mistaken, that's a sexual reference.
A very odd one, but yes. Okay. So
programmers are delirious right now, Edge.
Ooh, that's good.
So when does the mini street, when is it coming out?
I believe you can order
November
now.
November 2nd.
Yeah, you can order now on November 2nd. Or something. Yeah.
Mm. Okay. Well, more power to them. You know what? Here's my thing. It's like, my question, like,
Rox, you
have an iPad.
Well, Kim was going to upgrade her iPad.
Okay. So you guys have an iPad. John, do you have a tablet?
I have Tuffley just pointed out, I have a original Kindle Fire rooted to Ice Cream Sandwich.
Here's my question. How big is that?
7 inches.
Okay, so
and the tablet is a little bit bigger than 7 inches too.
Oh, I see. So for you the 7-inch
size works.
Right?
I really do need 27 inches.
Well, I know, but Rox is an overachiever. Right. So John, you're cool with the 7 inches? Is that?
Yeah, it's fine by me.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm cool with that too. Actually, Kim wants the smaller iPad. She's looking at the smaller iPad.
She can't handle all the inches she has now.
Well, no, it's just, she can't, you know, it's two hands. So she wants to go to one hand.
I'm so sorry. I laughed in the middle of that, John. I'm so I couldn't stop.
Why are you laughing in the middle of? Why are you laughing, saying, apologizing to me? Everybody heard it.
And that's why I finished that sentence.
I was like, oh God, soundboard material. That's fantastic.
Well, yes, that's true.
Yeah. So no. I just because I'm curious about that. Because my thing is,
I bet you are.
One hand or two hands?
There's just no, or a three hander. There's just no way to talk about this. You know, what's weird is I'm fine with like the iPad size. I'll phrase it like that, perhaps. It won't work, but I'm fine with the iPad size, but I'm like,
thank you.
Whoa, what the
bloody hell?
Ow.
That's Oktoberfest.
I believe that was soundboard material.
No, please no. I don't want to do that shit. Yeah, thank you. No, I'm just curious because, okay, like for example, I see one of the main selling points of all these phones, right? Let's talk about phones for a second. Is that, oh, you can have HD video or whatever. Now, okay. Does anybody really want to watch like Dark Knight Rises on their fucking phone? Or like, I mean, okay, I can understand like, okay, you're in line at some place and you want to catch the game because really you don't need to see every detail of the game or the news or the something, whatever. But like
movies, you're talking about the movie with that guy that was in that thing.
Yeah. Oh, that guy.
Yeah, the game. Never mind.
What, David Fincher?
I'm trying to remember what the hell the guy's name is. Not Kurt Russell. Michael Douglas.
Sean Penn?
Oh, yes. I was talking about Michael Douglas, John.
Michael Douglas That's is the game, yes.
Exactly what I was talking about.
Or were you talking about the game where you're not supposed to talk about the game?
I was talking about
Or were you talking about the rapper?
I was talking about Connect 4 is what it is.
I did watch the NHL. I'm a fair bit of the last year's NHL playoffs on my phone, so guilty.
Well, but like I'm saying, that is I can understand sports because mostly you're like listening, right? Watching the little it's the shuttlecock is what it's called in
hockey. It's a puck. I watched the entire Olympics. Used my iPad for the Olympics. So I used it.
I used my tablet for the Olympics too.
That's my point. To me, and maybe this is just a completely, a different strokes for Silver Spoons, but maybe that's what that is. From a size perspective, screen wise, the iPad for me works. I could watch something on an iPad, right? But watching, I don't know, an episode of Boardwalk Empire on a smaller screen, I don't get it. Cause there's a certain point at which you're just losing so much information that I don't see the point of it. So I guess for me, the mini iPad would be too small, I guess is what I'm saying. So
size queen.
Well,
I'm thinking part of it though is if you don't really watch movies on your device, what if all you do is the internet? What if all you do is the internet and Twitter and you just want something slightly larger than your phone?
Well, I mean, that's primarily why I got the iPad is that I, wanted something larger than my phone, smaller than my desktop machine that I could wander around with and do stuff with and was portable because it came in, came in very handy at Dragon Con. Thanks, Rox. I'm just curious about that because that's just a little.
Having been at your house when you try to make your desktop portable, that's the horror.
I know. I mean, because I try to put it on a lanyard and that's why my neck is all fucked up. So
I know.
But anyway, so it sounds like does anybody actually watch like movies on their phone? Because that's their big selling point.
I did when Netflix first came out for the phone. I did try it.
Well, you gotta. I mean,
Yeah, and first of all, the thing that stopped me, I got about halfway through, and it wasn't because I didn't like the film or that. It just the thought dawned on me: I'm using this much bandwidth to watch this movie on this phone, and that's what stopped me.
Tuffley goes, "I have Debbie Does Dallas on DVD. Why am I watching it over the internet?"
You know, I throw my
I use my iTouch when I'm downstairs and I'm working on drawing and stuff because I'll put like a mystery on that I really don't have to. It's like background,
right?
But if I'm traveling, say on, a long, ride or something, I'll watch like a small video or something, not like 10 minutes or something, but like a short film. Do it.
Yeah. I have the only time I've ever really watched a video on my phone is when I've been like, oh man, I really want to hear X song, whatever it is. And I don't have it on my iPod. I'll pull it up on YouTube. And then I just plug it into my car stereo and then I'm pretty much good. So. But no, I'm just curious about that. The 7-inch iPad to me seems a bit too small, and I don't know what I would do with it.
Well, did you buy the new iPad? What they called the new iPad?
What, the 3?
Well, it would have been the 3, but they called it the new iPad.
Yes, that's what I have. I have that, John.
The one that was deposed today.
Right, the one that was
one that was apparently deposed today.
Right, it was exactly like six months ago they released it, and now the new one is replacing it.
The A6 chip, refreshed camera, and the Lightning connector.
And Siri.
Oh, the Lightning.
And Siri.
The Lightning connector so they can get you to pay an extra $30 for another stupid adapter.
You have Siri? Where do you have Siri?
On my iPad.
Do you have a 2 or a 3?
I have a 3.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Siri was on 3. It's not on 2. Yeah.
No, believe me, I know because I really wanted to play around with it.
Apple's going to be upset because iPad 3.
Coming the weekend.
It's just called the new iPad, which is no longer the new iPad.
No. I never called it the new iPad. I just called it the iPad. iPad better than what you have. I don't know.
Wait a minute. So basically, it's not. Oh, but that's what the fuck? It's not called the new iPad anymore. It's called the iPad with Retina display.
Right.
All right.
And now there's the iPad 3. Yes.
No, but there's no iPad 3 on the iPad page.
Oh, no, because it just came out today.
Does it come in red?
No, because the iPad mini is called iPad mini.
I guess it's for those light days of computing.
Yes, Lee, yes.
See, this doesn't make sense. Hi, Lee. Sorry, I'm confused. You know how I get when I get confused? I start to bleed out the nose. So I'm like, here's the problem, though. This doesn't make any sense. You have iPad 2, and then you have iPad with Retina display, which says to me, the way that's named, it's an iPad 1. It just has a Retina display.
I mean, what's a Retina display?
It's like it's a display, but it's with Retina.
Well, the 3 has Retina display. Mine has Retina display.
No, I know. You have an iPad with Retina display, according to this website. I'm just saying that the way this is named, instead of calling it iPad 3, which implies better than the iPad 2, it's called the iPad with Retina display, which implies not as good as the iPad 2, but just with a Retina display.
Right, but today they announced the iPad 3. This is all very confusing.
All right, if you go to the thing, if you go to the Apple store and you can compare the models, they don't call it 3. They call it iPad, like what John said, which says Retina.
Oh, my God. You know, this could be why they were trying to get rid of the numbers.
And this would be everybody has drank the Kool-Aid.
You know, Lee, if the Kool-Aid was Sam Adams Oktoberfest, it would be very tasty, tasty Kool-Aid.
You know, the interest.
If the Kool-Aid was high test coffee and I had 2 cups.
All right. This is interesting, though. The iPad 2, they got rid of the 32 gig and the 64 gig.
Really? I'm sorry. Yeah, you are correct. What the heck was that? What the heck's going on here?
That's not okay. Me.
It's me. It was stupid autoplay. I'd accidentally hovered over something.
It's not you, Widge. It's him.
Correction. Okay. The iPad 3 was now, what would have been iPad 3 was called iPad, is now called iPad with Retina display, right? And today it was iPad, what they released was called iPad 4th Gen.
Oh, gosh.
iPad next generation. Meetings and boardrooms.
So this is the
outside the window.
Okay, so I'm so fucking confused. So the new one is what compared to what Rox has?
Compared to what Rox has, the new one is one better. It has a better front, has a better front, improved Wi-Fi, a better front camera, and a lightning connector. That is.
And the A6 chip, which is the same chip.
Okay. So they got rid of the whatever 64 pin, whatever.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Well, that's fine because I still have my adapter and I don't have to buy something like that.
I did watch the information about the new whatever when they announced that lightning connector.
Yeah.
And the rationale for doing it seemed to make sense. Unless it was all complete bullshit, which I admit could be the case, but I mean they made a good case for why. That was like months ago, and I have Memento Head. So
why they didn't use a USB Mini or a Mini HD? Yeah, that makes absolute sense. No, why is because they wanted $30.
Proprietary,
but yeah, they do seem to lurch toward the faster connections every once in a while.
Right, and thank you very much for killing off, you know, IEEE, so or whatever the hell, FireWire.
Yeah, I liked FireWire.
So did I. I have a bunch of stuff, and now I can't get anything on it anymore because they killed it off.
Sorry.
Yeah, I know, exactly. You should be sorry.
Wait, not really.
Wait, who are we talking about?
They're not.
She drank the Kool-Aid.
Okay, no, wait a minute. So let me just
Oktoberfest.
Let me just say, Lee, that I tried to drink the Sunny Delight and it was shit. So hence I'm going to the Kool-Aid.
Did you drink the Tang?
I love Tang. Tang no, is what space astronauts.
I had drink. Tang on a donut, and that was awesome.
When you say Tang, do you mean Unix?
Yes.
And by Unix, do you mean like multiple men who have been gelded?
No.
Oh, okay.
Although I believe that was OS 1, Widge.
What was OS 1? I didn't remember OS 1.
It was a rock and a chisel.
I'm sorry, was that a geek joke that I just completely missed because I was actually taking you seriously? It's happened before.
Coffee. Uh-huh.
Lee, are you all right? What are you drinking? I doubt somehow you're drinking any form of depressant at this stage of the game.
I had coffee. Oh. I had to go to a work thing, and I just got home. I had coffee and chocolate cake with dark chocolate icing. I'm never going to sleep.
Oh, my God.
All right. We'll see what happens at 10 o'clock.
I'm actually really tired, but it's kind of funny.
It is definitely kind of funny.
Yes, it is.
So, okay. So what was the thing? Oh, so, I was
watching talking about what you need for your light days. Keep going.
For my light days?
Light days.
Although
yeah, I've got many.
Although I'm curious now what you do on your computing heavy days, Lee.
On my computing heavy days, I call a contractor. I make them handle it. It's all awesome.
She's got a cray with wings.
Sometimes when you get old, toughly, you know, you don't have to worry about that anymore.
When you say cray, is that two or three Red Bulls?
I don't know. I've not consulted a cray in some time. All right. So did we? Are we done talking about Apple and the Kool-Aid? Because I have late breaking news here.
What, Steve and the gang?
Yeah, I saw this on Russell Howard actually, and I wanted to share because it's in Florida. I thought you guys would appreciate this.
You might want to wait for those people who stepped away for a second.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine. So I, you know, it's, I'll say this though. It is a shame that our friend Scott is not on here because he would really appreciate. I'm putting the link in the chat now and then I'll describe it to you, dear listeners.
Is this like a Scott link? Can I click on it or not?
It is okay. Let me just say, Lee, it is a remote kissing device where you can kiss across the net. Basically, it is a head shaped device that has like fake lips on it that you kiss the fake lips and it transmits your kiss to another set of fake lips to the person that you're kissing wherever they are.
Taken out of context, that could go really south really fast.
Really? I'm going with Serve on this one.
Well, especially
if you're at somebody else's computer and they don't clean the monitor.
Don't clean the monitor.
We have issues there, Trek? There, Toughly?
No, I'm just saying.
Okay, just,
he's,
yeah.
He's just saying. He has a friend who has issues with his monitor.
Right, I've heard.
Yeah.
I know a guy.
Yeah, no. Let me just put you this way: the introduction of this news story was followed by a one of Russell's brief skits in which you see a girl kissing the one Kissinger, going, "Oh, I'm so why can't we be together?" And then the next thing you see is Russell walking in the room and going, "Hey, Granddad, have you seen my Kissinger?" You can imagine where he had it.
I don't want to imagine that.
I just want that on
Ooh,
the
Ooh, that's
sound.
Good.
Yeah.
That's okay, see, here's the thing. Okay, so it consists of a pair of robots to transfer kisses over distance. So you have to buy something, first of all. But you know what? Yeah,
don't drink the Kool-Aid, Lee. They're proprietary lips.
Okay, but here's the issue.
So are they on the old pins or are they on the lightning connections now?
Well, first of all, they look like little pigs, number one. Number two, they do look like little pigs. And number to do? Why can't I just go on Twitter and say, I'm giving you a virtual kiss? Wouldn't that work?
Or, you know, you could just go over to someone's house and go, I'm going to give you a kiss now.
I'm going to kisses you.
Kisses you? What?
Kisses you? Is that different?
No, not really. This is the dumbest damn thing I've ever seen. Which, how the hell do you find this stuff?
It's called British television, and they laugh at us, and I laugh at us in turn.
He has contractors.
Oh my God, there's a mini surrogate on this thing too. What's mini surrogate?
That's it's basically molded on Vern Troyer.
Oh, so you send him around and he wheels around and kisses people. Well, that makes sense.
You ship him through the
post.
That
would make a lot more sense, actually.
It's like a pet rock.
Oh, I got a rock.
Nice.
It's almost time for that one.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Okay, so the other thing that he mentioned that I thought you guys would appreciate, what the hell did I do with the... Hang on. Shit, what did I do with the link? Hang on. Too many things are open. Okay, so a guy in Florida. Yeah, Murdoch, Florida? I don't know if you guys know where that is at all.
I'm not familiar with it.
It's right next to BA, Florida.
That's also close to Hell's Kitchen.
To the left of Hannibal.
Yeah, basically a guy.
Go in your face.
A guy was arrested because he kept calling 911 because they wouldn't let him bring his kitten into a strip club.
Why can't he bring his kitten into a strip club?
I guess because they have proprietary pussy.
Pussy.
Well, I believe some of the dancers may be allergic in sensitive areas to cat fur.
Oh, that's true. I wouldn't want a cat in my house, much less my strip club. Not saying I own a strip club, but I'm just saying.
And especially not saying you own a cat.
No. Jesus Christ, no. I would be dead. So, it was hilarious. Last time I went to the doctor for a checkup, they actually, every time they ask me, so do you have any allergies? I always say jokingly, cats, please don't prescribe any. And they actually have me in the system as cats under my, allergic to cats. I'm like, I was kidding, but thank you.
And you meant the musical, right?
I did.
Yeah, I did. Musical. Yeah.
Although I got to say, when I saw that in New York, there was one of the characters who was really hot. I wanted to tease her rumple. Let's just put it that way. That's a theater joke.
Are we going to have Thundercats Chitara discussion again?
Are we going to have a what?
Are we going to have that Thundercats Chitara discussion again, Wedge?
No, and especially not on the air.
I hope not.
Thunder, Thundercats.
All right, fine. So,
sorry.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, I thought we were going to have that discussion.
No, that is actually not happening. That's not happening. All right, fine. I'll ask this. Iron Man 3 trailer, anyone?
Happy?
No. I haven't seen it.
So, John,
hey, I've seen it.
So, John, I'm sorry. Were you happy or were you turning into Mark Ruffalo?
Yes, both.
Okay, good.
Well, let Serve talk. He never gets to talk.
Oh, Serve talk.
I saw it. Look good.
Yeah. I'm actually very, very happy with it. It looks pretty badass. So.
I am too.
All right. So we've covered that. Moving on.
I know. My entire agenda is gone. Okay, fine.
It's interesting because, you know, they obviously are tying it directly back into the Avengers. And with the whole, every time he can't sleep because every time he thinks about New York, he thinks about, you know, yada, yada, yada. We said it before, but Marvel is doing a bang up job with tying everything together.
Well, and I'm going to be fascinated to see, like with the Shield TV show, how do they tie that in? And they also talked about doing the Jessica Jones series, and I think
Madman, he'll go nuts
in a good way.
No, he absolutely thinks it's a horrible idea.
Oh, I think it's a great idea.
He hates that character, apparently.
Really?
Uh-huh.
That was I. Okay, Yeah, it was called, wasn't it Pulse? Was that what it was called?
Yeah, it was called a Pulse, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, sir, there was basically Bendis wrote a comic that was a private investigator who was a former Avenger, former superhero, still had her powers, but was basically not in costume anymore and just being a PI. And so it was really great street level, yet tied back into superhero Marvel Universe type book that actually worked. And she eventually ended up with Luke Cage, and it made sense. Okay. My thing about Bendis is when he's on, he's like really on, and when he's off, he's like really off. This was him being really on, in my opinion. I really enjoyed it. So, but yeah, it was, I think that could work because, I mean, I don't think, has anyone done a crime procedural thing in that vein of like, you know, capes? Because really the only other.
The Tick?
Well, no, that's played for, that wasn't proceed, that was just batshit crazy.
I know Powers was in development for a really long time at HBO.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the only other comic that springs to mind from the big two where they've done that. And of course, they're both Bendis.
Was Bendis too, yeah.
I was on mute. That's why no one could hear me. I was yelling out the cape. The cape was actually.
But the cape, he was still in costume, right?
What about the middleman?
It didn't matter. It was horrible either way.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, but you know what I'm saying? I'm talking about just basically you're in a superhero world, but you yourself are not a superhero. That sort of crime procedural thing. Yeah, Middleman, I never watched Middleman. The comic book was fun. And of course it had, I forget the actor's name, which means that it was destined to be, canceled. But was it any good?
Yep. It was interesting. I mean, had it gotten a little more time, I think it would have been a little more culty. But, you know. But it was not going to be, you know, middle of the road stuff. This was going to be a culty thing.
Yeah.
So you're saying given time, it would have found three viewers?
No, I think given time and putting it on Sci-Fi, it might still be on, but not.
No,
not
if it was on Sci-Fi.
Channel.
It was canceled.
Hey.
No, not if they can't film it in a shed, Lee.
If they can't film it in just a big warehouse.
Everything in a shed.
If it doesn't involve finding
in a shed, damn it!
If it doesn't involve finding Bigfoot, they're not going
to
have.
No, some of it they used to film in Canada when they used to be able to afford it.
They don't. John, did you see that Finding Bigfoot comes back on November 11th? The new season.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome! I don't care.
I know. I was watching the Bigfoot Marathon. I put it on Twitter for you that the Bigfoot Marathon, Marathon was on.
I can't wait for the Finding Bigfoot show to come back on,
Said everybody ever, because this is awesome. It's an awesome show.
So anyway, let me get this straight.
Waiting for Finding Bigfoot
best.
Breaking Bad.
Bigfoot is the best at
a crossover to Breaking Bad? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Bigfoot on meth? That would be kind of awesome, too.
Bigfoot on meth.
Okay, so let me get this straight. I just want to make sure that I'm clear on this. We've had something like 8 seasons of Ghost Hunters and Ghost Hunters International and, for all I know, Cajun Ghost Hunters and all kinds of fucking stupid.
There's one called Ghost Adventures on the Travel Channel.
Okay.
Which you forgot, Ghost Hunters West Coast.
No, there's not Ghost Hunters West Coast.
And Great Lakes Ghost Hunters.
Yes.
There's not. Yeah.
And remember Ghost Hunters Antarctica. That was good, too.
Yeah.
Oh, then there was the special Gold Rush Ghost Hunters, because one of the camps was, you know, where they were panning for gold. There was a murdered, you know, 49er.
There was a murdered pan.
And there was a ghost,
been murdered.
Ghost Hunter Factor.
Oh, a Ghost Hunter Miami. That was cool. The bit where the guy took his glasses off every week.
Oh, yeah.
But my point is this, is that so basically we've had all of this time and effort put into trying to find a ghost and have found none. Yet we're going to have a show about chasing down an animal that basically is, you know,
big and hairy.
Big and hairy and solitary, or moves in extremely small groups and has not been, you know, has any area of wilderness to hide in and hasn't been spotted. So we haven't found fucking ghosts, which are supposed to be fucking everywhere and all the time, 24/7. But yet we're going to try to find a Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Just checking. Just making sure I was clear.
Good job.
Well, I'm sorry. Now remember, remember this, Widge. This guy gets paid to do this.
No. You know, that's what I was going to ask. So was he a professional Bigfoot hunter before he conned somebody into making this
all
show?
All four of the people, well, all three, the three guys on the show supposedly are professional Bigfoot hunters. The one woman on the show is actually a biologist, primatologist, something.
And you know why?
So they pulled her into it because she's kind of the skeptic science person.
So Lee, the problem is that she's not a professional Bigfoot hunter because of the fucking glass ceiling in Bigfoot hunters. And I think there needs to be some fucking fair play and, like, you know, there needs to be something about equality. But I bet even if she was a professional Bigfoot hunter, that she wouldn't be getting paid nearly as much as the menfolk.
Equal pay, for equal fiction.
You got it.
So how does the rankings in the Bigfoot hunter game go? I mean, is there like a farm team of like Bigfoot hunters?
Oh, there are Bigfoot hunters. There are BFRO groups. I am not you guys.
Is there an arena league?
There are BFROs, the Bigfoot Research Organization, BFRO.
Best friend on retainer? What?
Bigfoot Research Organization. They're all over the damn place. There's one in Georgia. Bob up in Syria.
So who pays these people? I mean, besides.
I don't know. Some of them get paid because they're. I don't know. Some of them get paid, though. Right now, Animal Planet and Discovery are paying four of them.
All right. So, Serve, John, I think what we need to do is we need to be professional. I was going to say Jersey Devil, but is there anything in Florida that is like, you know, cryptozoological?
Chupacabra.
Skunk ape.
Yeah.
Yeah. Skunk ape. We don't have chupacabras.
Oh my God. Wait, what if we were professional skunk ape exterminators? And so, cause here's the thing. We're not trying to find it. We're trying to fucking kill it and get it out of your garden, right? So we could basically say any raccoon, badger, possum, anything that you hear in the woods, we could just walk off.
World. Does they already have swamp people for that, though?
No, swamp people is very different. Swamp people's going out and getting alligators. You could need to watch your reality shows on Discover and Animal Planet.
Tuffley. Why are you doing that?
How do I know you know the answer to that, though?
I know. God forbid. Which we also need to come up with an app.
Yeah.
So that we can show, so you can like do the app and then it'll show you what's in there because there's a ghost app. I have it.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
So we need to come up with an app on the skunk, whatever thing you said.
Yeah. You know what that reminds me of? Have you guys seen this zombie game app thing? I think it's on Kickstarter. No. Where basically you are. You're standing out in public somewhere and you fire up this game and you hold up your phone and it shows you the real world with zombies superimposed on it that you're like shooting at. Have you seen this?
Yeah. I have not.
Am I the only one who thinks that, cause they show somebody like wheeling around behind them and like shooting a zombie behind them. You're going to like fucking punch somebody in the face is what's going to happen when you try to do this on a sidewalk somewhere. And I'm going to laugh.
If I'm the one that gets punched, then I can sue the app people and make money.
So we should be professional getting punched people is what it sounds like.
That doesn't sound bad either.
Yeah. I like that. So, Lee, we can get you punched. And then
I don't like to punch. I want to look for the skunk face.
You want to go look for
it? Punched? It hurts to get punched. Ow.
I thought you were saying you could get punched and then you could sue the
Well, it, like once, I want to do it over and over again.
Well, we could flip a coin. One of us could be the punched person, and the other one could be the "Oh my God, I saw the whole thing" person. And Rox can be lookout.
I'll be lookout. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I will just tell you: never, ever, ever drive around Portland and Seattle with the Boutel, because he'll all of a sudden just look out the window and go, "Ooh, Bigfoot!" And then you're like whipping your head around to look, and he's like, "Ah, can't prove it wasn't there." He's not a fun person to ride with.
Well, to be fair, he actually does that, like, you know, in his house.
How do you know?
He'll open the pantry and go, "Bigfoot."
Ooh, Bigfoot.
Bigfoot.
See? Told you.
Can't prove he wasn't there?
That's it all the fucking time.
Okay, so there's the Atlantic Paranormal Society. There's the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society. There's UFO Skywatch. Loch Ness Day Tour.
Day Tour?
Dude, how are you saying these to me?
A day tour.
Think I don't know these?
No, because I was looking up the Bigfoot. Because remember the guy, there's one episode where he's actually literally going, "Oh, Bigfoot likes donuts."
Oh, yeah, and he likes bacon.
He also likes bacon and pizza. Ironically, all the things that I like to eat as well.
No, wait a minute. I will, John, in fairness.
Probably does.
No, I mean, I don't know about donuts, okay? Because I can say, okay, maybe donuts. But really, honestly, bacon is enjoyed by pretty much every animal that can possibly eat bacon. I know that whales, because they have that, like, baleen stuff, they just hate the fact they can't eat bacon. Even pigs will eat bacon. I mean, come on.
Are they really looking for Bigfoot, or is it just the fact, like, and this has happened with the Sci-Fi Channel,
Discovery.
The star.
Animal Planet.
Animal Planet. Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah.
It's real planet.
Okay. So wait a minute. So let me, Lee, you're not actually trying to defend this thing by saying it's a real show, are you?
She is. Yelling networks, you know, like The Price is Right. They just get in a frenzy and start yelling out numbers.
Yeah.
God, that was the other thing that she had on, they had on Russell Howard that we watched, was he does this thing where he has a mystery guest where they roll somebody out and he has to guess why they're in the news. And this person was like the number one pet psychic in England. A fucking
who,
pet psychic.
What I want to know is, what I wanted him to roll out was the number two pet psychic in England. Because the guy I'm really interested in. What is he doing to become number one?
Have I ever told you my pet psychic story?
Oh, God, no. Please do.
So, as we know, I've done many different things at Dragon Con. And I mean this with... Actually, no, I really don't to this person. And I'm not going to say their name. But my dad, as we know, was dying of cancer. I was dealing with all of that. And somehow this person called enough people, they got my personal cell phone. And they would not stop calling. They kept calling me, and I kept telling them, "I'm sorry, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to give you a panel at Dragon Con. I'm sorry, I'm not going to do that right now." And they kept calling me. And I finally had to say, "Okay, explain to me how you think you are a pet psychic." Now, understand, I'm at the hospital with my father at this point, because this person would call me every other fucking day. So, and I explained that to them, and they still kept calling. And I said, "Okay, so explain to me how you know you're a pet psychic." And they said, "Well, have you ever seen a cat, and a cat will just, like, stare at a wall?" And I went, "Yeah, I have a cat, and I've seen that." And then, "Actually, the cat is actually really communicating with a spirit that is there." And I went, and I said, "Whoa, stop right now. So you're going to tell me that a cat that's staring at a wall, that licks its own ass, that shits in a box, is a fucking psychic?" And he went, "I don't think this is the time to talk to you." And I said, "I've been telling you that for a goddamn week, and you keep calling every other day. Please don't call me again. And if you do, I will make sure you are never, ever going to talk to anybody again, because I will hunt you down and kick your ass." It was very nice. I was, like, literally nuts. At that point.
See, the problem is, Lee, if you had had that conversation in front of your cat, then the cat would have been able to communicate with the pet psychic in a way that the psychic would have understood. It's not like,
you know,
that fucking crazy person. No, give me some damage. You know, I'm not doing it.
You know, the problem there is that was a very damaged cat after it hung up.
I know.
Yeah, please. Jeez.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at all of the Bigfoot sightings that have been done in Georgia. And there have been two in my county.
And have they found anything?
I don't know. That's what I'm looking at.
I think Bigfoot's in Gwinnett Place Mall because nothing else is.
Oh, that's about it. That's about it, man.
Nice.
Oh, it's from 1974.
I think that and Little Caesar Pizza.
That place. Doesn't rule out Gwinnett Place Mall, Lee.
It really doesn't, does it? Oh, my God. I'm sorry. This is like freaking nuts. Okay, I'm sorry. Keep going. Keep going.
Although the donut place in Gwinnett Place Mall is really good. So.
Which donut place? I didn't know there was a donut place.
Yeah, there's a donut place in there.
That tells you how often I go to this.
Uh-huh.
Where is this mall?
Not literally a stone's throw. I'd kind of have to throw like Superman, but less than 3 minutes from my house.
Oh, my God. That's close to a mall.
Ugh. That is very close to a mall, unfortunately. 3 to 5 minutes from my house, depending on how many lights I hit.
Well, when the zombie Holocaust happens, you're set.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. I am.
All you have to do is just get... Now, the only thing is, because you can't live on donuts alone. I mean, well, you can, but not for a long time.
Well, there's cream puffs.
Oh, well, okay.
And there's the Auntie M's with pretzels.
A Boston cream, I understand, will keep you.
Forever and ever.
You know, my neighborhood, Dunkin' Donuts that just opened up not too long ago has yet to figure out how to make the Boston cream appropriately.
Really?
I
thought it comes prepackaged.
They, no,
crap.
They make them there. They do.
Are they putting the cream on the outside, or what are they doing?
No,
is
it's
it
always
curdled?
No. It's a, they haven't figured out how to make enough so that what happens is that the one that you know you wind up getting is usually the chocolate is still too warm, and so when they put it in the bag or whatever,
oh,
it's kind
separates.
Of it melts off the top of it,
yeah.
And then it's you know it's always they haven't figured out how to make enough, so they have their most popular donut, mind you.
Is it?
I think Boston creams are. I will tell you, for 13-year-old boys, mostly. When we had an overnight, all of them wanted the Boston cream. I did not get enough Boston cream.
I like raspberry jelly with regular sugar.
Well, I mean, for at Dunkin' Donuts, their number one donut is the Boston cream.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know what? It has the donut that lasts the longest without getting stale, like within an hour, is actually the chocolate coconut. That it will stay moist for at least 2 days.
Now, is this with the box open or the box closed?
Box closed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rox has done the studies.
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
Okay.
So is it what is the magical properties of coconut? Is that?
I think so. Yeah, because I think it's the coconut that they use is moist, so it coats the donut in this protective layer, and the chocolate adds.
Well, it's Colombian, so it's fine.
Yeah. Yes. And that wasn't really sugar. Colombian. Right. Not really sugar.
So, yes, there's something about the coconut that, because any other donut, like glazed, that turns. That turns within 4 hours. And then it's
turns
stale.
What?
Stale.
Well, the glazed. No.
You can keep those for days.
No, you can't.
The hot fresh now Krispy Kremes, you can.
I don't do Krispy Kremes.
Wow.
Oh, hot fresh, toughly hot fresh now with some milk.
No.
I know.
More coffee. Can I have more coffee?
No.
You can't. Lee. They do sell coffee.
Lee, you can't.
Do you know how long it's been since I've had, like, real coffee? It's really been a long time.
What have you been having instead?
Tea. I don't have coffee. I have tea. I don't get coffee.
So what was today? Why did you get it
I was
today?
At a dinner thing, and at the end of the dinner, they had coffee and chocolate cake.
You could have said, no, I will bypass the coffee. I will have partake in the cake, however.
I shall abstain from the coffee.
It was so good.
What kind of coffee?
I don't know.
Oh.
Coffee. I don't get coffee anymore. It could have probably been strained hot water. and I would have been happy.
Lee, are you high on coffee?
Yeah, she is. Pretty damn close. Yep.
Well, she's far too lucid for her to be drinking alcohol at this point, Tuffley. So.
And I'm still awake at like 9:30.
Not really, Lee. Yeah. There's that big yawn.
I am yawning.
Yeah, but she does that anyway.
This is true.
That's true. That's very true.
Oh my God! Yeah, she does it the first day of convention too.
What, yawn?
Yes.
Yeah, all the time.
Well, that's considering the enormity of what lies ahead.
So here's my question. Before Lee completely passes out, should we talk Walking Dead?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's back! AMC's back on Dish, and I am so happy I can't stand it. I didn't get to watch it yet, but I'm very happy. It's okay. Keep going. I'll just listen. It doesn't, you're not spoiling me on Walking Dead because it scares me. So it's okay.
Okay. So everybody else who's watching it, see it?
Yes.
Okay. So my first question is, isn't it interesting how, again, we're two episodes in, and the person who has the best zombie killing technique is T-Dog.
Yeah. Yes, because he uses the lightest weapon going that has a lot of maneuverability.
And he's the only smart one to carry a freaking shield.
Yeah, he's the guy who picks up the riot shield, and he will fireplace poker. Okay, well done you, but it's like
that is
so,
a good one.
So he'll pin the zombie up against the wall with a shield, and then just right through the eye socket with the fireplace. That's a fucking brilliant move.
Maneuverability and a light item, yes.
Yeah, that's great.
He's been working on his swing in that time. We haven't seen him do anything.
Yes. Yeah.
Apparently. But no, that was the first thing that struck me. And I was happy that last episode they ended with the roughly the same ending that they did with that thing in the comics, where they burst into a room under different circumstances, but burst into a room and went, "What the fuck?" And you're expecting like chaos, death, destruction, and instead it's like four guys sitting around a table looking at them like, "Who the fuck are you?" So that was nice. And, I'll say this.
I hate Carl.
Well, now, okay, so.
I don't about care. That.
Are you kidding?
I like Carl.
I love him
Let
now.
Let that Carl hate begin.
Oh, God, I just hate Carl.
Oh, I love him now.
Well, good for you. Carl hate.
Well, here's, and John, maybe this is where you're coming from on it too, and jump in, but.
Carl, or, John, your son will turn out like Carl. There you go. There's my curse.
Well, I am a registered Republican, so.
Okay.
My thing about Carl is that just watching him in the background, he has come a long way. Specifically, like, there was a bit at one point where everybody came into the cell block area. And he didn't have to be asked. He was like, "I'm in charge of the door," went and locked the door. And I'm like, "Okay, good." And he was, to avoid spoilers as much as possible, somebody woke up, he had his gun out.
On it.
So the whole running to the infirmary thing, I think that was great. And I think it's even better. Because they very easily could have like cut away to that and given us a, here's time with Carl. What's going to happen to Carl? But instead he just shows back up. I thought that was really nice. I'm kind of happy what they're doing because they changed the path for Carl so completely from the comics by having him doing Dale, basically.
Yeah.
And I think it makes sense for him to have adjusted course after that and gone, "Oh shit, I did this." So John, what is your take on Carl? What is your defense of Carl?
What is there to defend? He's doing exactly what he's supposed to do growing up in this world that he's growing up in. He's basically becoming a teenager.
Oh God.
And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Already tried to like bunk up with the young girl.
Why not?
That's part of being a teenager.
Yeah. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
So.
Already disrespecting his mom.
Well, yes, but the viewers are disrespecting his mom too, so it's fine.
Well, yeah, but yeah. However, on the Lori front,
yeah,
it's sort of funny. At first, it's like, oh my god, it's going to be a whole season of let's hate Lori, you know? Punish Lori.
They're trying to make you like her because of
Really. The thing is, she did her little. This is what I like about the writing. And I just hate Carl because he's a creepy kid. If he was in my neighborhood, he'd be gone. However, just don't like him. You know, he's the type. I just don't like the kid. Just don't. Okay, he's fine in that environment. Don't just put him in my neighborhood.
He's one of those kids who would go look at a dead body down the train tracks.
Yes.
Now Rox. Right. First of all, if he invited you to come along and see the dead body, you'd be fine. But second of all,
I'd be okay. But I'd take just protection.
I know, but Rox, just bear in mind, he is a fictional character. He's not going to come into your world. I think you're safe.
All right.
Okay.
Well,
okay.
I can't wait to try smart glass with that, though.
All right. But, yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I guess my question is, why hate so much on him now instead of last year?
I didn't like him last year.
Oh, okay. It's still the same dislike.
There's something. I mean, I understand why, you know, he's central. He really is, due to the fact of, you know, how far society goes and stuff like that. He's pivotal. I just don't like him. I don't have to like him.
And also, he's taller, so there's more to not like.
There you go. But however, I was worried that they'd turn like this into let's punish Lori for her indiscretions forever until he talked to her and she turned her little, you know, Lady Macbeth back on of do what you have to do. You know, when you know how in the comic, it's interesting. Rick uses Lori as like, am I still a good guy? I did A, B, and C.
What? John, what are you doing?
It's a stupid float. If you float over the dam. Okay, never mind.
You know, it's not a zombie outbreak if you're in Rio.
Yeah. It's not. Unless it's Carnival. No, you're right.
That's right. You know, in the comic, he would go to her and say, you know, I did A, B, and C. And he would use her as, you know, and he would ask her, because I remember this, you know, am I a good guy? And she's like, yes, you're saving us, blah, 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 blah. Here, they flip the tables a bit.
Yeah.
And she pretty much goes, do what you have to do with a clear conscience. And to me, that flips on her little Lady Macbeth thing of she knows how to manipulate Rick. You know, the thing is everyone sees, you know, Rick being pissy at her all the time, you know, where she's just as manipulative as anybody else in that show.
Well, I think here's the other thing, too. And this kind of goes back to the conversation that was in the first episode about.
She told him to get rid of Shane.
Yeah. If things occur. So I think she's kind of giving Rick permission to. Just in case the baby is not alive.
There's that, yeah.
Shall we say. So I think she's trying to – I think character-wise, I think that's what she's trying to set up for to allow him to do that if he has to because she's thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now – and remember, she's also talked to Herschel about this as well.
Yeah, she's talked to Herschel about that.
My main thing about – I think the problem that I'm seeing that Rick has with Lori is less about the indiscretion, because that would have been more of a problem last season when he found out, right?
Right.
And of course, I mean, it's pretty clear it's not his kid, right? So there's that. But my thing is that after being Lady Macbeth, and saying, you may have to take out Shane, he did take out Shane, and she rejected him. Yeah, at the very end.
Yeah, okay.
Because remember, he walks off to the side, and he's explaining to her the entire, and it was a really fantastic scene because they're not looking at each other. He's looking out, you know, he's delivering his confession out, and she's just watching him in the background and reacting. And it's really well done by both of them. But he basically lays out, he pulled me out there. He was going to take me out, and I had to do it. And when he turned around to her expecting the, "No, honey, it's okay. I know you did what you had to do." She pushed him away and flipped out. And then for the rest of that episode was looking at him like, "You fucking murderer." So to me, I think his problem is because he said something in this episode of, you know, if only you had said something about killing people with Shane or whatever it is. He made some sort of really tired, weary remark about referring back to that. And I think that is what really fucked him up, is that, no, you told me, you basically gave me leave to do this, so I did it. I probably would have done it anyway, but I did it with a clear conscience, and now you're telling me that I'm a fucking murderer, which led into that wonderful blow up at the end of the season where he says, "I killed my best friend for you people." Mm-hmm. And it's just like, holy shit. So I think that is what's really interesting about the two of them, and so very sad. And in addition to that, we do have a Rick in the series who is, you know, he won't flinch. Because let me just say, I was waiting for him to give the word to Daryl, because Daryl's the number two guy and obviously Rick's, you know, right-hand man. But he never got the word. Rick said, "All right, I'll do this." It's just like, oh, shit. That was fantastic.
Yeah.
Rox approved.
Yes.
Well, I also think
Rox, was that impressive for you?
Yes, it was.
And I wonder if they're going to go back and do a flashback to like the 6 months we didn't see.
I
doubt it.
Maybe. Well, maybe if they're setting up something, but for the most part, I understand they did the flashback mostly so that they could keep filming in warm climates.
Yeah.
They did the flash forward. Sorry, they jumped forward. And,
well, also because Georgia didn't have a winter.
But I was going to say, does Georgia ever get cold?
Yes.
Yes,
it does. And in the comic, I think they make a point of saying that there's some sort of, freak winter to allow for them to do stories in the snow, and the whatever it is, estates thing that they visited here, but didn't do the same story.
I think the first thing they come to outside of Atlanta in the winter was that estates, yeah, right?
I think you're right. I think it's literally like issue 7 or something.
Yeah,
but no. So I'm happy with that. I was trying to think if. I was actually happy with the scare that happened with somebody waking up, because I was just like, oh, fuck. So that was really good. And I have to admit, I really like, I like the fact that, you know, I mean, what was it? Wolven was saying on Twitter that, you know, it's great that T-Dog had lines. Let's have some character development. And I responded quite seriously with, when you're the character smart enough to pick up the riot shield, that says a lot to me about your character.
Yes.
And that's the other thing about the flash forward is we get to see them basically operating as a unit, and having had to survive this long, now they're all sort of, you know, well-versed in it. So we can tell other stories that don't need, we're shrinking back from zombies, you know, so that's nice and different.
Target practice.
Yeah, pretty much. But I like, you know, that with T-Dog, but I also like what they're doing with Carol, where Carol appears to be, you know,
she's adjusting.
Yeah, well, and becoming more a person who's not just there to, you know, be looking for her daughter, or then for the second half of the season in the background, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yes. Because if not, it'd be like, okay, then she's like fodder type of thing, because, you know, how many more cringing? I mean, too, you know, she was in an abusive relationship.
The thing is, in the comic, though, if you're fodder, if you're just in the background for too long, you know, you just, you know, get killed.
This is true.
That's true. But I think her idea about practice is, while very insane, is actually quite practical. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, so I was impressed because that's not in the comic.
And what's his nose pointed out several times. That
oh, no, that's perfectly safe.
You're right. It makes sense, but you do realize what you're saying, right? Oh, okay. What is his name? I can't remember his name for some reason.
Glenn,
thank you.
Yep. So, okay. Anybody else?
That refreshes every 15 minutes on Weekend Justice.
I have another show to talk about, but I'm sure you guys are talking about Walking Dead.
I had my friends and I thought the second episode was better than the first. I think.
Yeah.
In terms of red shirts, yeah, actually.
Yeah.
It's always good to have red shirts in an episode that in a show that normally doesn't have red shirts. That's nice.
Let me ask you this question. Is the number of folks that are still living in the prison, is that fairly accurate to the comic?
I think Rick's group is bigger in the comic.
Yeah,
I'm talking about the other prisoners too.
No,
there were only four prisoners, but Rick's group was much larger at this point.
And yeah. I think that for the most part, they played out that whole jockeying for power with the convicts a lot faster in the television show. That was done, I think, that was spread out a bit more.
Yeah, I think the convicts were around for like two arcs in the comic. Yeah.
Now, at least one of them was around, I think, until the end of the arc.
Yeah.
Most of them don't last. So. But yeah.
They hung around. They hung around a lot longer in the comics than.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. The final count right now is two of convicts, right?
Yes, there's
okay. Yes.
Just want to make sure I didn't miss somebody.
No, there are two convicts remaining. Cool. There will be a counter on screen.
Well, and I have to admit, I was a little afraid originally when I saw what Carol was doing that they were going to follow the Carol of the comics. Anyone who's read the comics.
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah, it was it involved going out and getting a zombie. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
To have relations with?
No, not for that. So, but anyway. What else? So, what did you want to talk about?
I wanted to ask Rox if she had seen The Last Alphas.
No. I skipped over to watch Boardwalk Empire, and now American Horror Story Asylum started.
But it was an amazing finale, and I want to talk about it. But if you didn't
talk about it, I don't care.
No.
Lee, like you said, I'll get caught up. Don't worry.
Mockingbird Lane's on this week.
It's on Friday.
Wait a minute.
They're only doing the pilot, right?
Yeah, I thought they're getting rid of that.
Well, they are. My understanding is, the guy behind it hasn't completely written it off because, I mean, obviously, if for some reason it does huge numbers, maybe they'll consider it again or he'll move it somewhere else. But, I mean, Toughly, what's the story on that? They sank like a shit ton of money into that. And
they made like six episodes, right?
They bought six scripts, I think. They did not, I think they've only produced the movie, the pilot movie.
Oh, okay.
But they, I know that Brian Fuller and I think Eddie actually are paid, are locked in and paid for the entire six, whether they make them or not. I think that's the case. I know that they had initially bought, I think, somewhere in the neighborhood of six scripts. And it's going to be weird because Universal owns the Munsters anyway. So
yeah.
How would he be able to go to another network?
I don't know.
Well, I think it's interesting because we're going to see how that movie does. I mean, I have not heard anything good about this. One thing.
Well, here's the thing, and I don't imagine it's going to get huge ratings because they're airing it on a Friday, right?
Right, well, before after, Grimm, though.
Before or after Grimm?
Oh, shoot. It might be after.
It's after Grimm.
I think it's after Grimm because the Grimm episode is the Halloween episode of Grimm, which Grimm has been better and better this season.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, but it's still on Friday nights. They got to get it on a better night.
Well, that's called a DVR. That is called a DVR.
On Friday nights.
Right.
Well, yeah.
I mean, the thing is they're counting DVR more and more.
By my count, NBC won't have anything on Thursday come next season anyway, so
yeah,
maybe it'll move there.
But, you know, the only thing Grimm can hope for is that Fringe gets worse. You know, that's
Fringe is in its last season, so what does it care?
I know. Well, all Fringe does at this point is take, you know, viewers away from Grimm. So
and just get better and better.
I don't know that they take lives away. I think it's DVR. I mean, we DVR'd in this house because there's stuff going on.
And I do.
Yeah,
I don't watch TV on Friday.
Here's the thing, though, and this is ultimately the network's issue with DVRs because AMC and Dish, adverts. You don't watch. You skip the adverts when they DVR the show. So there.
No, I watch them all the time.
Oh my gosh! Okay,
says no one ever.
All the way through, right, John?
Was that like fake honesty just then?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Here's something weird. Here's a psych. Get this. A psychologist actually did a research paper. Get this. That
one psychologist did a research paper.
Yeah, on the effects of actually watching a show with commercials and without, and she said that most of the time people are happier. Get this, when they watch the commercials.
Of course she would say that. If he had done the study, it'd be different.
Oh, my God. Shut up, John. Here's the thing. With the commercials, you can get up and – all right. Here's also, if you're watching it on Hulu, which is available usually the next day,
yep.
you're stuck with commercials regardless.
Yep. Yeah.
So you do what we've done since the dawn of television. You go off and go to the bathroom, go get something to drink. You go pee. Yeah. And you make sure you save your seat. That's, you know.
At the toilet or?
No. I grew up in a house with five kids. So, you know, the minute you moved. Yeah, my seat. Saved. Fine. Exactly.
You know how you could really save it? You could combine both activities and then you would save your seat.
Whatever, John. However, you know, when you're watching stuff on Hulu, you're stuck still watching commercials.
Yeah. But they've sunk an awful lot of money into Grimm, and I can't see them keeping it somewhere where in the death slot. I can't. They've poured so much money into that show.
They've had it in two death slots, and it's still around. I mean, they had it on Monday night, and then they had it on Friday. So I don't,
Okay, all right, just a poll. What does everyone do on a Friday around here?
Go out.
Where do you go?
Work.
Restaurant.
Okay. Lee?
Restaurant.
Usually for us, we're probably doing things with the kidlet. Like this Friday night, we've got hockey playoffs. So we'll be doing that. Come home, eat, then maybe watch Grimm if we're all not exhausted, or we'll watch it the next.
I'm usually looking for the Tesseract.
Okay, good for you, John. All right, I'm usually like out and about.
You're out and about in the Nine Realms looking for the Tesseract?
That's right, yes, in my own area, yes. Anyway, but I mean, that's what I like about DVR. It's like you can actually make your own channels, you know, of this is my TV.
Yeah.
Well, you can't. I just don't think from a network perspective that they've actually figured out how to actually monetize.
No, they don't. And Lee and I will tell you that the writer from Warehouse 13, he was kind of saying, you know, it's important that people watch it during that time slot because we get our money.
Well, you watch it then, or you must. Yeah, if you DVR it, you got to DVR it with. You got to watch it within 3 days because the issue. There is that they do look at DVRs at that period. I mean, I think the issue there, though, is if you look at Warehouse 13, I mean, seriously, there is no better ad for a Prius. There is no better ad for Twizzlers than Warehouse 13, and they've done that on purpose.
And look at Grimm. It's sponsored by Apple. Everybody's got an Apple phone, iPhone.
Everybody's got an iPhone.
Well, they live in Portland, so they're all hipsters anyway.
Well, I mean, that's my question is, are we going to see more move to just product placement?
I think so. We have.
There's
that too. And I think some of the, what was it? Studio 60, because NBC had started the program with the product placement and Studio 60 had written the episode that, had the stupid product placement in it, although you couldn't tell if it was supposed to be funny or not because it was Studio 60.
I like that show.
They've had that. I think NBC's had that program for about, since Studio 60 at least.
Well, and this is how they make money. Whether we like it or not, I'm not going to be, you know, it's not going to make me buy a Prius. It isn't going to make me buy Twizzlers any more than I already do, because we do buy Twizzlers in this house. So
see, here's the thing. If the X-Files didn't make you want to buy a Taurus, Lee, I don't think Grimm's going to want to make you buy a Prius.
No, I did try to buy some 9 West Teals because Scully bought them and seemed to be able to run in them, and that just freaks. Let me trust you. You are not running in 9 West Teals. You're going to break a heel.
But I think that what
I'm guessing you've never shown an interest in buying a gray Ford Taurus.
I Taurus has never ever been one of the things I've wanted. But you know.
John, what were you going to say?
First of all, I owned a Taurus at one point. But the – no, that's Ford Escort. I'm sorry.
I had a Ford Escort and Ford Festiva. I had to feed the gerbils every day.
I was going to say, I think she fell more often than you saw because she couldn't remember anything after.
No, we're not going there, John. John. Hush up. Hush up, John. But no, I mean, but so, yeah, I don't know. But I am loving Grimm again. And it's got Sasha, and I say his name wrong, R-O-I-Z, Ruiz, I don't know. He plays kind of halfway evil, halfway you're not sure, really well. He did it well in Caprica. That was probably about one of the best things on Caprica.
He's purely Machiavellian for his own purposes.
Awesome. He is awesome.
What character does he play?
He plays
the lieutenant captain. He's captain.
He was on
Bernard.
Oh, Caprica, you said. Never mind.
Caprica.
I didn't watch Sage.
Okay.
Time.
I didn't have the time to watch Sage.
It was the Galactica spinoff filmed in a shed. That's why.
Okay, just remember, some of us thought Eric Stoltz was hot.
In Mask especially.
I'm sorry.
Gosh, Toffoli, wow. Was that Kim? Was that Kim that thought Eric Stoltz was hot? Wow.
Okay. Go with that answer. I like that answer better than the truth.
Oh my God, it's good this season? Is Haven. Haven is good this season.
See, the problem is it has been hard for me to get into Haven every season. Every season I watch like one or two episodes and I'm like, this doesn't have shit to do with that damn book. And then I get mad.
No, it doesn't. That's fine. That's fine. Actually, they made like an allusion to the book. It's kind of interesting that she finds this body up on, you know, where they find the body in the book, you know, on the wall, you know, on the beach and stuff. So that was kind of interesting. But other than that, no, there isn't. You know, it's, you know, they do have the monster of the week, and yet it's kind of neat that they actually kind of have this really cool crunch timeline. Before she disappears or whatnot. So it's really good. I like it.
But I, yeah. Okay. Well, and then the, I mean, Alphas ended on a bit of a cliffhanger again, but I want Roxy to watch it, because then we got to talk about why did it affect everybody but Gary, and you'll see what I mean.
Gary! Okay.
Gary is awesome, and he's British, and I'm still confused.
Okay. I like Gary.
I love Gary. I think he's a great character. I like all the characters on that show. I really, really do. There isn't one I don't like except for Dr. Rawson.
Oh, yeah.
That's total really sad.
Asshole, man.
He is. It's total really bad. I just don't like him. And he's kind of supposed to be the guy who's like, I'm like, no.
Not
I like,
really.
I don't like Lee. I don't like Lee at all. Lee Rosen. Don't like him at all.
Okay.
That's it for my TV.
All right, I'll make a point of watching it for next.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Because I want to have this discussion.
Okay.
Awesome. So what else? What is everybody watching to get ready for Halloween? That's what I'm kind of curious about. I know what Rox is watching.
Ooh.
Season of the Witch.
Season of the Witch.
I know this is going to sound weird, but horror at Fang Rock.
What? You're watching Dwayne Johnson's
The Rock? No, the Doctor Who episode in the lighthouse.
Oh, I like that episode. That's a great episode.
Yeah. I don't know this episode, so
it's a Tom Baker episode.
Horror at Fang Rock. It's a Tom Baker episode with Leela in it, and it's basically a Lighthouse Under Siege episode.
Yeah, where you have a lot of play on the socioeconomic conflict between some of the characters and stuff. So that's really good. It also takes place at the beginning of the turning of the century. So there's electricity. It's a lighthouse that is actually generated with electricity. So that's kind of cool. It's sort of like one of those episodes we talk about wherever there's a steampunk panel in Doctor Who. That's a seminal one. Then Talons and Wang Chiang is another one that's good.
Yeah, because that's like the season Leela got to wear clothes.
Yes.
Oh wow, clothes. That's always nice.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I like that horror at Fang Rock. I like that. Because the cool thing is it's one of those, it ends in a mystery. It's like the Marie Celeste that they've always played off on. Yeah. Throughout the entire 50 years of Doctor Who.
See, those particular classic Doctor Who's with Leela in them, I get to watch because Kim actually likes the character. So
I like Leela. I always have.
So.
She can
Louise Jameson.
Gemma Jameson? What?
Louise Jameson, the actress.
Oh. Louise!
Just follow along. Next.
Savage. Yeah. So what are you watching Halloween night, Lee?
We will be sitting here giving out candy. So I probably won't be watching anything. I might watch It's the Great Pumpkin.
Well, sure. You can watch something and just pause it when you have to go to the door.
That's I know.
No, okay, because she watches all the commercials too.
Although I think the actual
they make her happy.
Although I think the actual night, though, I may actually pull out one of the Devil May Cry games and run through that again.
Oh.
And that's not a euphemism, right?
Either that or Left 4 Dead.
Oh.
Which is zombie shooting fun.
Zombie shooting. Has anybody played Dead Island?
Kim doesn't, doesn't it? No, she doesn't play that one. She just got finished with Dishonored, though.
She finished it, really? Yeah, that looks like a kick-ass game. That's like
we're talking Kim here. Don't give her short games.
Okay.
Game manufacturers, third-party developers, don't make your game short. Kim will just blow through that shit.
Hey, I have a question for you. So I'm finishing up this is for Tuffly. I'm finishing up Mass Effect 3. Yeah. Now I've already downloaded the extended cut edition thing. Do I have to do anything to activate that, or does it automatically just go that direction?
Where are you in the playthrough of your game?
I just did that. Well, I'm just about to do the final battle, I presume. I went through the whole, hey, let me talk to everybody before.
I think what you have to do is, I think you have, I think, some of the changes start to take effect. I think you have to go back. I think they said you had to go back and play the bit where you're invading Cerberus.
Right. I already had it downloaded by then.
Okay. So I think they keep saying for some of that to kick in, you have to go back and play that again.
Well, how would I know if it's kicked in or not?
There are apparently some choices. There are additional choice paths that affect the new ending.
Get somebody on the phone that knows. Where's your wife?
Oh, actually, Tuffley, I actually wanted to ask you, how did she play Dishonored? Did she do killing or sneaking, or what did she do?
She just finished the first playthrough, and I don't know if she's going to do another one. But she did the first playthrough on the non-killing. She went non-violent.
Really? Yeah. How'd that go?
Your wife went non-violent? What was that like for you?
I know.
There's a first time for everything.
I know.
Did it make you feel tingly?
I have an NHL video game, so I have to pretend hockey's happening. So,
no hockey.
But yeah, she went non-violent, and it's interesting. I don't know if she's going to do another playthrough. I'd wonder if she would, if she was doing the killing, how that feels, but how that works out as far as the gameplay goes, but. We're this close to Assassin's Creed 3. She's not doing this again. So, because actually she's getting the Vita, so she's getting like two Assassin's Creed games. So.
There is
there
that.
There you go. Now, okay, so it looks like, here's my question, Tuffley. It looks like that Dead Island has a sequel coming out next year.
Called Gilligan's Island?
It's called Dead Island Riptide. And my question is it the robot, the Roboz, that basically starts the plague, or is it like Tom Bray's character?
I think it's Tom Bray's character. I think it's the helicopter, actually.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
It's not Rick Springfield?
Or the theme music. Because really the theme music would send anyone into an undead state, I think.
That's very true. I really appreciated when Dario Argento remade it in Italy.
Yeah.
Dario Argento's Riptide. That would have been fantastic.
Even then, it would have had Jogan Baker in it.
With music by Goblin, would have been great. That sounds like Rob.
Riptide, yes. Joe Don
Baker. Hi, Rob.
Hi, Rob.
Hello.
Sorry about the car.
Oh,
yeah, fuck you.
Rick Springfield.
No, I was cheering for them for you.
Rick Springfield did High Tide. Oh,
no. I couldn't say anything, Rob, because, you know, the house over here is all for San Francisco.
I don't mind losing San Francisco to them. It's perfectly fine.
Okay.
And they totally deserve to blow it because they completely blew it. I mean, you know, it is what it is.
You know, I just feel bad that we didn't give them two World Series.
Well, I had tickets to games 1 and games 2, which probably would have paid for Dragon Con, but that's okay. So, because my playoff tickets paid for our trip to France. So,
Oof.
Did you see Ladies Underpants?
Hasn't everyone?
Wow.
Which is greater, the people that have seen Lee's Underpants or John Barrowman?
We did not say Lee's.
Ladies Underpants.
He did not say Lee.
You went to Paris. You went to France.
Why do I still think that answer is John Barrowman?
John Barrowman. It is. He showed his in roomfuls of 2,500 people like 4 times.
I would love to have Barrowman.
He showed it on network television. He's not got a problem with it, you know.
No, he puts on his pretty panties before he goes on stage.
Just rub it into your big ass.
No, Rox, I'm fine. It just would have been cool, but that's all right.
It would have been very cool.
Oh yeah.
So I would say, wow, it's okay. I could always watch hockey, but no, I can't.
No, you can't.
Nope.
Do you have a game console? Because I am playing the NHL season currently on.
Oh my gosh!
No, I am doing something far more nerdish. I'm watching the AHL games on satellite.
Oh really?
Oh man! Oh,
you know what? I'm watching.
Who are you watching?
whatever game is on.
Did you watch any Binghamton? Did you watch any Binghamton Senators?
I think I might have. I don't know. I'll make it a point to watch them though.
Okay.
I know I've been watching some of the. I think it's Edmonton's got a team and Hamilton.
Yeah, the CHL. I think
it's Hamilton. Yeah.
Yeah. NHL Network's airing some of those, so I've been watching some of those. Although the KHL stuff with the pros. Coming up soon. I think ESPN's website's got a bunch of those.
Which version of the NHL do you have?
I've got 12. I got 12 for PS3.
Oh.
So yeah. So just when you get, I know Tuffley's probably in the same boat, just as you finally get a fan base and you get people interested in hockey, you have a work stoppage. Really smart, guys. Come on.
Yep.
Yeah, but it's happened before.
Yeah, but before nobody gave a shit about hockey because it wasn't on TV. Now they have the Winter Classic and the Stanley Cups on network television. And most of they gained a lot of ground when there's an NBA strike because a lot of people were like watching hockey instead of the NBA. And now they've lost that. So that bounce they had. So that kind of has screwed them, so to speak. I think
the more games that get canceled in the season, hopefully my hope is that it really starts to hurt the owners more, because especially the teams that make the revenue from straight ticket sales.
Yeah.
I'm hoping it hurts them more and they're quicker to go back to the table.
And the better the Lightning's chance become of winning the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, and the sad thing is... Because
everybody wins, right, when nobody plays?
No, the sad thing is that,
I believe it's the War Games conclusion to the NHL.
Yeah, I don't want the NHL season to be shorter than Eastwick, but...
Oh, you just had to rub that in, didn't you?
No.
Find a way to do it.
I'm just pointing out a fact.
Yeah. What?
Lee, I'm just pointing out a fact.
Tuffley, that's what I found. Somebody found it for me. There's a curling league in Atlanta.
Oh, really? Is there?
Yes, there is.
You found out about that, didn't you?
Are you going to join? You should join.
I think Tuffley should.
I remember distinctly before, but then John Bellman was in the room, so it was the first time I saw Lee at Dragon Con this year, and I said, "Oh, Lee, there's a curling league in Atlanta. Remind me to tell you about it later." And you completely said, "I'll talk to you later."
And
so there you are.
And all of a sudden I saw John Barrowman and I lost all brain cells.
Yeah, I know.
So I'm guessing this is at the Iceplex?
No. I don't know. It's in Marietta. I'm trying
So not at the Iceplex.
No. Nope.
Which surprisingly is still open. Although I did see where they were. The real estate listing for the Thrashers facility.
That's now, when she gets there and it's all people with curling irons, she's going to be greatly disappointed.
No, I'm looking at it and it has curling stones on it.
Tom, I'm going to be honest, about an hour.
We lost Rob.
We lost Rob.
Shh. It's just the way you say.
Okay. All right. Sorry. I'm trying to start my mom's stuff. Sorry.
It's okay. Were you... Was that the drug deal?
Okay. No, I just talked to Janet about something real quick.
Okay.
Caller, I'm going to need you to turn down your stereo there, sir.
Just turn your radio off.
No,
please.
It's, believe it or not, there are other things in the Weekend Justice podcast that happen.
Huh? What?
This is the podcast where everything gets done.
I know.
No.
Okay, so, Locks?
Yes.
We should totally somehow have the derelict scouts have to do something with those weird Georgia stones you guys got out over there.
What Georgia stones?
You know the Stonehenge thing they've got in Georgia with like all the different languages on it or whatever?
You don't know about this, Rocks?
No.
Uh-oh.
What? What is? Wait a minute. What is
hang
this?
On, hang on. Hang on. I'll get.
Hang on. Tourist trap. Tourist trap. She needs
I'm on
to
it. I'm on it. Hang on. All right.
But we can have them like climb it.
Coming up with a
They'd
link.
Have to knock out the surveillance cameras, but.
Yes. So for our listeners who may not know the reference, the Georgia Guidestones.
That's oh, it, yeah. Okay. Guides. Okay.
Yes. Large granite monument in Elbert County, Georgia. A message clearly conveying a set of 10 guidelines. This is from Wikipedia, by the way, which is always right. A set of 10 guidelines is inscribed on the structure in 8 modern languages, and a shorter message is inscribed at the top of the structure in 4 ancient languages scripts, Babylonian, Classical Greek, Sanskrit, and Egyptian hieroglyphs. It's basically... First of all, it's a fascinating story behind it. You guys know about how it got built? Did you guys hear this?
Yeah.
No.
Basically, I think it's 1980. Yeah, 1980 when it was opened, and basically some shadowy person and or persons contacted somebody with a granite company. And had them build it to spec. And in order to get it done, they contacted like a bank, a local bank, I believe it was, and revealed themselves, whoever they were and whatever their deal was, to the guy at the bank. Because he was like, I'm not going to, you know, serve as clearinghouse for this stuff. I don't know who the fuck you people are. And so the deal is that only, you know, only that person knows who actually paid to have this erected, and they pass it on to whoever the next person is, and nobody else knows. But yeah, it's supposed to be, as I understand it, if there is some sort of cataclysm in which civilization is wiped out, this is supposed to help people restore civilization because it has 10,
rules.
10 rules on it that are supposed to help people back from the brink or something.
Wow.
And the writers haven't used this yet.
So what we could do, Rox, is not only do they have to climb it, but we could bring Din with us, and they have to translate the forgotten languages in like 2 minutes and turn the translation to Din, and she has to tell them whether they're right or not.
All right. I like that.
Now, I don't know if Latin is on. Is Latin on it?
Hang on. Let me pull it back up. No.
Then we could just have the other thing we could do is under cover of darkness, we could have Din carve it in Latin and correct it. There would be another language on there.
Nice.
But that probably is a bad idea. So. Yeah, so that's a wacky zine idea for the week. Sorry.
I like that.
Yeah. So.
Huh.
There you are.
No, just looking at this, I did not realize this. There is a tablet that's supposed to explain what the hell this is about. And on it, it says at the bottom, time capsule placed 6 feet below this spot on blank to be opened on blank. But there's no dates.
Oh, you know, that's because you have to spend $350 for the iPad mini tablet. And that'll give you the answers.
I see. We need an app for that. You can point your...
Holy
app,
shit,
app
they buried Guidestones. Steve Jobs there?
Yeah.
Shh. Who knew Steve Jobs' final resting place would be Georgia? Wow.
But that should be, Rock, that should be our field trip fixture for Dragon Con.
Yeah, I like that. We should do that.
We take the scouts with us.
I think that's important. How many scouts have signed up thus far?
We have cynical 13-year-old.
Okay. So he'll definitely be a the derelict equivalent of an Eagle Scout before.
Yeah.
Time, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, he'll
Do
shoot
have to make
the
up
head
badges?
Of the class. Yeah.
Yeah, and
but, you
maybe
know, they have to
kids,
make up
we...
their own.
Oh.
Yeah.
And we'll say yes or no. It's like that looks good.
That was the setup.
Yeah. Oh, look, you used Stitch Witchery. Yay, good for you. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. See, it's a little easier to get by rocks than me, so.
Yeah.
because so, I'd be like, Stitcher looked great. Let me see a copy of your record collection.
Ooh, yeah.
I would imagine you would. I would imagine you would do this more like the Gong Show.
Oh.
No, we want. No, the thing is, we want. No, no, hold on. We want them so that they'll have.
I just gave Rob an idea.
No, don't. Oh my god.
I would think Scott would be a great host for the Gong Show.
Yeah.
I just.
Oh my god! Know. Who will be Gene the Dancing Machine, though? That could be B-Knot.
I just don't think Scott could bring the Chuck Barris energy.
You know?
No, but we could combine it with the $1.98 beauty pageant, and he'd definitely bring the Rip Taylor.
That's.
Or if Rip Taylor's at Dragon Con, we can always ask him to show up.
Yeah, because every year, eventually, somebody will come to Dragon Con.
He was there. He was
there. Yeah, wasn't he there a couple of years ago?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is I was walking down the street and this woman actually dressed up as him. And he's like, oh my God, you need to come by, you know, his walk of shame table. So she's like, yeah, I'm going to go meet him and we're going to have fun. And I'm like, okay, cool. Good for you.
Yeah. Nothing would make Night of a Thousand more awesome than if we had Rip Taylor.
Oh my God. Yeah. And he could like fling, you know, glitter. That's what we need, Rob. For next year, we bring glitter in our fists.
He throws confetti and leads the way.
Yes. I like that.
How about we just have Scott follow us and throw glitter? Because that shit doesn't come off.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Now, Rob, my question is, should you have lined up celebrity guest fist bumpers who, like, will do, like, five fist bumps and then they'll just move on?
Yeah.
Well, we were thinking that, like, you know, we could sell fist bumps for the stars. Rockstar could sell chances. And, like, for, you know, $5 a chance, you can, like, fist bump, you know.
We could do it like the Olympics. You know, they do go a little ways fist bumping and then they pass off.
Oh my God, the fist bump decathlon rocks.
Yeah.
Or it's like they have the monkey's paw and they pass the monkey's paw and somebody else has to go
they have to walk 7 miles and fist bump. Then they have to swim 7 miles in the hotel pool and fist bump people in the pool.
And they have to walk the Hyatt horrible stairs that goes up to the pool. Yeah. They have to make that climb at least 10 times. That'll kill anybody. Those are like pageant stairs. Remember what is it? Oh my God, we went to one of those, like the Hill Cumorah pageant up in New York. You know where it's, you know, I think the Mormons put it on or something. You know, of Jesus coming to America or something. But it's on this like mountain type thing, and it's just everything's high. Those stairs remind me of that. The Hill Cumorah stairs. We'll call it that. You need to look up that now.
Awesome.
Yes. So, Boardwalk Empire.
Yes.
It was good this week. Oh my God. So Teddy is like the Donnie Darko of the show. It's like the week of creepy kids.
Yeah, that was weird. That was very strange. I thought it was sort of an odd episode because
It's the Halloween episode. It's the very special Halloween episode of Boardwalk Empire. Nookie hands out treats.
You've got the, it's sort of taking a left turn from where we left it in that now we've got Dougherty to take care of instead of, Rossetti.
Mm-hmm.
So Rossetti's just missing. You had the new story for Richard. You had that incredibly sad and creepy thing with Gretchen Ball, which was just like,
yeah, what is she playing at?
She's she's playing at. I think she's finally, because I was sort of surprised. I was sort of surprised she didn't know, or knows but just denied it. But I think
I was was wondering if she was trying to replace.
Oh, no, she was. That's what I'm saying. I think she came to the conclusion that he's not coming back and went out trying to find someone to replace him, which is just.
But that's not where I'm thinking. No? I'm thinking she's trying to replace him so she could kill him.
Oh?
So that she could, you know, say, oh, hey, he left all the stuff to me. Here's his body, by the way.
Now, what was the deal? Because they said you have to declare him dead. And then, because I thought she would get, the kid would get it. Am I remember? What was the deal? Because the whole deal was she had not declared him dead. What was the deal on that? I don't remember.
Oh, basically everything will go to his kid. Right?
But she controls that kid. So, there's nobody else.
No. I think it's almost in limbo, isn't it? The whole thing? Because she's like, you know, kind of a teetering. I mean, apparently the Commodore doesn't, unless all the money is tied up in a trust fund for the young kid. Because don't forget, I can't believe the Commodore doesn't have money. Because why is she going in with Lucky to fund the whorehouse? You know, didn't the Commodore have money? Didn't she have access to the money? You know, apparently this mansion is now like falling apart.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, it sounds like she's got like no liquid assets. Again, we'll harken back to the Susie Orman show.
Right.
So no, she can't afford a new roof.
Well,
you can't afford that race boat, but you can fix your whorehouse.
Yes.
Yeah, I need to go back and listen to that bit again, because there was something about.
I honestly thought she was trying to find somebody so that she could set them up so she can kill them and burn the body or whatever. So it's, you know, because nobody did dental records back then.
Right.
You know what? I've got it. I've got the perfect reality scripted show crossover. House Hunters and Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah, I like that.
It's great.
No, I like it. I did find Rox, I will say, congrats for going to an even darker place than I was going. I mean, well done, you.
Okay. I mean, I couldn't. I mean, the thing is, she's pretty much backed up against a wall. Okay.
Right.
I can't, and she's got nobody in her corner. I mean, it was tentative with her son anyway.
Right.
But she could control him to a certain degree. But, you know, things are, you know, especially with the altercation she's had with Lucky, I think she's trying to figure out a game plan for herself. And she's got to resolve this, because how many times has this been up that, hey, your son's not here. You don't own this house.
Right.
So I'm gambling that's what I think she might be trying to do. Because she's just as manipulative.
Oh, no, she is. She is.
So I can't see her going. I mean, I can see her loneliness, whatever, creepiness thing. But I think she's got another motive.
I think that's, like I said, I just, you know. I did not even go there, so I'm sort of impressed, but not surprised. okay. I'm trying to.
I find that whole thing about the whole Donnie Darko thing kind of interesting, because this was kind of weird when they kept saying, the kid kept saying it was a gypsy.
Yeah.
And then he brought up the rabbit thing.
Yeah.
Then it was Owen that brought up saying that it was a puka.
Right.
Which is an Irish sort of changeling shift. You know, it's like usually a woodland animal, mainly a rabbit. So okay. I'm like, wow, who is this mystery person who is burning things? So the kid's not totally, he's hearing stories of something, you know. So the person, the gypsy is not like a Romanian gypsy. It's an Irish person. So it could be somebody from the IRA. That's what my guess is.
Yeah, but So do you believe him when he says that they took care of the guy?
No.
Okay.
Somehow I don't, because I don't know, because it's something that it's like, well, it's a show that doesn't do what like Boardwalk Empire does or did with like the whole thing with Carl going off and finding the infirmary on his own, done, and here's the stuff. Somehow it didn't seem like that played out, that it's believable in this situation.
Okay.
I mean, I still think, you know, Teddy has the inklings of a little pyro.
Oh yeah, you know? I agree.
So I don't fully rule out that he's innocent. You know, I think if anything, he's hearing, you know, the thing is during that time period, there was tons and tons of immigrants. You're hearing stories and stuff from, you know, people telling stories from the old country, you know, all the time.
Right.
So, but I thought that was kind of interesting that, you know, Owen brought up the whole, oh, yeah, it could have been like the Puka spirit, whatever. And I'm like, oh, and I only remember that from playing Changeling from White Wolf. I'm like, oh, the Pukas. Oh, my God, that is kind of interesting. You know, instead of this whole weird, you know, Teddy and being the, you know, the 1920s version of Donnie Darko type of thing. I don't know. It's kind of interesting.
I know Puka just because of Harvey. So
also that guy, the middleman guy, the guy that used to be on talk radio, or
Stephen Root.
Yeah,
he's fantastic, isn't he?
Yes, I think he's awesome. It's like, okay, how dirty is the lawyer woman? For him to contact Nucky so quickly, you know, of setting up, cutting out the attorney general on this situation.
Well, I thought that basically he just had Nucky followed.
Oh, that's a thought. I didn't think of that.
Because he seems to be that kind of very Machiavellian, very Walsingham kind of player, you know? So,
I like this character. I really do.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to see if he is actually meaning what he's saying or if he's trying to set up Nucky, because the whole put one in jail, that was kind of a lame put him in jail type of thing.
Right.
I don't know if that's the end of it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, Nucky's to the point where you could probably play him fairly easily because he's just not fucking paying attention to anything.
Yeah. My only thing is this is, there's like almost now no connection between Atlantic City and Chicago. So I don't know why they're still carrying on the Chicago line. I mean, I like it. Don't get me. I guess because they moved Agent, what's his name, to Chicago. I think that's why they have it.
And where's,
right?
Where's Remus as well? Because isn't he out that way?
Yeah.
Well, because remember, he was saying about, you know, don't go after me, go after Remus.
Right, so yes, that, okay.
So I can see where that could have ramifications elsewhere that you would need to have that also playing out.
But I can see this is the season that they might get rid of Nucky Thompson.
I think they might do it next season.
Okay.
I can see them laying the groundwork for it. But to me, this feels like the sort of thing where they could even, they could get rid of him slowly, or they could do a, you know, a season.
Well, they're, at least if anything, he's having a harder time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that the hurdles seem like they're getting taller, it seems. And you know, more money is flowing out than it seems like it's coming in.
Yeah, because, I mean, he is struggling thanks to all the land being gone.
Oh, my God. I'm surprised he didn't, like, beat the crap out of her. I mean, it just seems, if it was any other type of thug in that position, she would have either been like horribly maimed or she would have been dead.
Yeah, it was pretty hardcore. So
yeah. And I like the fact that it took place, what, 6 months later?
Well, no, it's been 18 months.
A couple of years. Yes, 18 months.
Yeah, because basically Eli's out. So.
Yeah. So, no, I like this episode. It was really good.
It's interesting. Like I said, they're doing a lot of other weird, stories going on. And I'm just going, how are you, you know, cause they're what, six in? Aren't we six in?
Yeah. Yeah.
Aren't there just like 10 or something? What is it? How many are there? Yeah. I'm trying to find it.
Are there actually 12 this year?
I don't know. I'm looking. No, you're right. There's 12. Each season was 12. Why was it?
Oh, yeah. No, you're thinking Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah, probably. So, yeah, we're halfway in, and I'm just like, how are you? You have got so many balls in the air at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Even with roughly 6 hours of, you know, left to play with, how the fuck are you going to?
And unless I am not mistaken, that's a sexual reference?
Yes. Yes, it is.
So well, it is HBO.
That is very true. So, I don't know. We shall see. I think they'll do it, but we'll see. Ta-da! So, while we're stopped, should we do introductions before we lose anyone else?
And then recommendations?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
All right. So okay. We're doing it. Hang on. I need to mark where we're doing it, because otherwise I just get completely lost when I'm, you know, doing my non-editing. But yeah. So we'll do introductions and we'll do them starting now.
We've seen you staggering out of the work week, but now it's time to buck up, little camper. The weekend is here. This is a needcoffee.com podcast, and we're going to help you the rest of the way home. Stand by for Weekend Justice.
Another edition of Weekend Justice. It's the Weekend Justice podcast here on needcoffee.com, your number one audio internet train wreck. Yes, and thank you for listening to this on DVR and removing all the commercials. That's why we make no money. We're here in the Hall of Weekend Justice with the Weekend Justice League, and I will endeavor to introduce them going from my right to your left. We have Rob is with us. Hi, Rob.
I got a rock.
Yes, and it'll roll your blues away. Shoo-bop, shoo-bop, woo. Tuffley's here as well. Hi, Tuffley. Sorry. Hello, Tuffley.
That was really good.
Thanks. I knew my religious upbringing would come in handy eventually. Haven't used it for much else. Rox Spazhouse is here. Hi, Rox.
Happy, happy Halloween, 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 happy, happy Halloween, Silver Shamrock.
That's true. This is officially the Halloween episode of Weekend Justice.
It is.
It'll be gone. It'll be over.
All gone.
Alas, what are you going to do?
So we're not taping on the next Tuesday?
Yeah. No, we can, but that'll air after.
He'll be posted.
They'll be on All Souls Day.
Yeah,
that'll be the All Souls Day episode.
That'll be the second. Is the second All Souls Day?
That's the first.
All Saints is the first.
It doesn't matter. There still won't be any hockey.
All right.
And John Boutel from the Unique Geek is here. Hi, John.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah. So I'm sorry, what were you saying, Rob, about hockey?
No, I was just concurring with Tuffley.
I see. I
oh,
what'd you say?
Just to harken back to the whole iPad thing, actually the big thing, too, is they made the desktop thinner.
Sure.
The iMac.
Except for the they conveniently kind of, you know, take the photo at it was like a MySpace photo. They take it at the right angle so that it looks way thinner than it really is.
Yeah. No, it bows out a bit.
Oh yeah.
You know, but it's, I wonder if it's as heavy.
Baby's well, got back.
You know, if you take a Sharpie out though, you can still draw in the optical drive. So it's okay.
All right.
So Rob, real quick before we move to recommendations, have you seen anything that we should be aware of?
Seven Psychopaths, which is great. Mm. It's not necessarily the movie's great. It's just the performances are really fun.
Oh yeah, no, the performances are excellent.
The script's a little, you know, it's not in Bruges, but it's worth it just sort of to see Christopher Walken and Sam Rockwell in a scene. But and then Cloud Atlas.
Oh, how was that?
Oh, how was that?
It's really long. It's almost 3 hours.
Okay.
Directors and editors.
You know, it's one. First of all, Jim Broadbent is just great in it. He's just so. He runs the table in terms of the character. You like him, then you're like, oh, you bastard. And then, oh, you feel sorry for him again. And then, wow, he's a bastard. And then Ben Winshaw. I forget Ben Winshaw is just a really solid actor in almost everything he's in. I forget about that guy.
He's going to be a great Q. Too.
Be a great what?
Q.
Oh, yeah.
Q. I thought you said who. And I'm like, where'd you hear that? But never mind.
Moving on.
He was on the short list. He was on the short list before they hired Tennant. But, yeah, it's kind of, I mean, you have to stay with it because the first 30, 35 minutes, you're sort of in the what the hell is going on thing. And you just kind of have to stay with it, and you're either going to like it or you're going to hate it. I'm still sort of, you know, Halle Berry's kind of annoying. And Tom Hanks is interesting in it because you get to see Tom Hanks do other things than be Tom Hanks. Which is interesting, but it's also sort of odd at the same time. So,
and this is the Wachowskis, right?
Yes, it is.
Well, now, as I understand that, didn't the Wachowskis help write it and Tom Twyker directed, or did they all write?
Yeah, the guy from Run, Lola, Run, I think, did most of the directing.
Okay.
Which would account for a lot of the sort of action stuff going on.
Okay.
And it's weird because almost every male lead is somehow in drag in the film, except Tom Hanks and Jim Broadbent. But like Hugo Weaving in drag is something I never ever need to see again.
Sure you do.
No,
you've never seen Priscilla.
Oh, he's in that, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
I forgot about that. I completely forgot about that. It's been years since I've seen that, but he's. The thing is, he completely pulls it off and is really creepy in it. I mean, he's just all kinds of creepy. And the best thing for me about this movie, though, is Keith David is just rock solid in it. And people just need to understand, the average American movie person needs to understand just how badass Keith David is. You know, he's a really great character actor whose time has sort of come to get recognized. He's great in it. So.
And he's great on stage, too, so.
Yeah, I mean, he's a really amazing actor, but like most people just sort of just don't know who he is, you know. He had that really great voiceover thing in Community last year where they said, hey, aren't you the voice from The Cape? Aren't you the guy from The Cape? And he goes, no. Which I thought was pretty fun. So that's good. And then tomorrow's a film, little film called Lincoln tomorrow. So.
Ooh. Okay. I can't wait to hear the report on that one.
I'll have to email it to you because there's all this cloak and dagger stuff. Like you have to pull, you have to hold any Facebook, Tweety, social media, or like web content or reviews for it until like release day.
So are we going to have to edit you just mentioning it?
No, I can mention it. I just if I see it and you know and I describe it to you, I'll have to sort of be rather generic and you know. It's just weird how
Daniel Day-Lewis finds you and cuts your right foot off.
I don't think he'd do that. I think Daniel Day-Lewis would just, Daniel Day-Lewis would come on the podcast and like learn how to become all of us in different parts and play them all. So
I think that's actually more terrifying.
So has anyone has anyone actually
Daniel Day-Lewis has widget walls? What?
Oh Christ!
Wow.
Basically, all that would entail is growing a beard, which he can definitely do, putting caffeine on some pounds, drinking caffeine, drinking and consuming caffeine in ridiculous amounts, and probably bulking up with milkshakes. It would be ridiculous.
Well, you're forgetting the part about, the neck thing by dragging the computer and trying to make it mobile.
Oh, yeah. He's very method. Yeah. I forgot. Yeah.
Yeah, very method.
So, Rob, have we heard what he actually did to prepare for the role? Because wasn't it for the Crucible that he basically showed up 6 months beforehand and built the fucking house his character was going to live in?
Yeah, basically he went to Springfield, lived in Springfield for I think either 6 months to a year, and then basically hung out at the Lincoln Museum, and they were gracious enough, unlike Rox and I, if we go to the Lincoln Museum, we get escorted out after a while because, you get into mischief. But he got to put on the top hat, and he got to put his hands on his. He got to look through his letters, read all of his letters.
Damn.
All of his correspondence, and then apparently he hung out the Herndon Law Firm office, which is the office where he practiced law, and just sort of pretty much lived as close to being in his shoes as possible. And the thing I heard that was interesting is that he spent a lot of time with a dialect coach, sort of. He went to parts of Kentucky where Lincoln was from, the parts of Illinois where Lincoln was from, and sort of worked with a dialect coach to try to find out what a person who lived in Kentucky, grew up in Kentucky but lived in Illinois, what their voice would sound like. So he thought, apparently for a guy we have no vocal record of, he spent a lot of time working on the voice, which wow. I thought was kind of interesting. Yeah.
Well, what's interesting is when I've heard him speak, in the trailer, what's really weird is that how even people that like you said, you have no record of, you sort of have an idea in your head about what you think based on what they look that they would have sounded like. He sounds like what I would picture Lincoln sounding like, which is what's really fucking weird.
And the look is creepy.
Oh God, it's amazing.
And the walk. I mean, we have no video of him walking, but we've heard all these things about how he had an awkward little walk and stuff.
Yeah.
Is great. And apparently, as the Civil War grew on, Lincoln got more and more sort of, as we say, Christian Bale emaciated kind of, where he just looked like hell the more the war went on. And apparently he tried to do that in real time. So he would not sleep or not eat much or just try to put as much of an emphasis in, mimicking how stressed out the toll of the war would be on Lincoln. There's times when I think the guy is just insane, but he's such a great actor.
Yeah, no, I know. That's the crazy thing is that I kind of go along with the whole thing of, the very famous and as far as I know, true story of Marathon Man, right? Where, you guys have heard this with Laurence Olivier and Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, basically, for anybody who does it, Dustin Hoffman had this thing where he had supposed to have been up for 48 hours or something like that. So he kept himself up for 48 hours so he could, deliver that performance. To which Olivier simply responded, "My dear boy, why don't you try acting?" And I mostly believe in that because I every time that I've been on stage or something, I don't do the whatever. I just go, "All right, I'm on," and just walk on and just do it. But the thing is that it works so well for Daniel Day-Lewis that I'm all right.
I think it depends on the actor.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? He is this is the guy who when I saw my left foot, and I think I may have mentioned this before, I swear to Christ, I actually thought they had gotten an actor with palsy. Maybe not as bad as the real guy, but I thought they had gotten an actor with palsy to play that role. And then his next role was Last of the Mohicans, where he's buff and running through the woods. And I was like, what the fuck? So
yeah, but I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, I'm hoping. It's got a great cast, and I don't know, I'm hoping.
Again, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yes. Yes, might be MVP for the year. Although, okay, real quick before we get into recommendations. Rob, did you actually see Premium Rush?
Yes.
Okay, how was that? Because, you know, it's got two really great actors in it, and I just never got around to seeing it.
It's what Premium Rush is, I think, from looking at it. I think it's one of those movies that got made and probably would have went straight to DVD if he wasn't in Batman.
Really?
I think it sat for a while. It just sort of.
I think it did because it got a bit of a quickie release.
I liked it. I mean, I thought it was. I mean, it wasn't, you know, the greatest movie in the world, but in terms of how they shot riding on a bike, I would love to hear what Rox thinks of it because the way they shot all the things with the bikes, and I think Rox would like the. Sort of where he
wasn't this supposed to be in 3D?
No, he's on his bike and he looks at ways in traffic and he goes, you see him figure out his head, if I go this way, this is going to happen. If I go this way, this is going to happen. And they show how it happens. So if you're not a big,
that's
bike
how
person,
I bike through traffic.
Yeah, it totally makes you think about biking in a whole different
way. It does.
But I liked it. I mean, it was kind of, parts of it were really kind of stupid and absurd, but generally it was a pretty good little, you know, hour and a half bit of entertainment.
It's funny, the whole bike genre type film, I mean, it's non-existent, you know, and yet
it
could be, you know, it's like Dark Angel, you know, she was a bike messenger, but they just never really played off on that. I mean, the idea that if you watch, there is a race, it's an illegal race, between bike messengers, and it's global. It's, you know, they'll have stages in certain cities. And if you you can go to YouTube and you could watch from, you know, their perspective, how dangerous, you know, biking through traffic can be. And I've done my fair share in other cities. I don't take that route because I'd like to live. But it's funny, you have to look at so many aspects, especially say take Atlanta, and I've biked on Peachtree enough. You know, you've got four lanes of traffic, you've got at an intersection, you've got people turning and stuff. It's weird. All of a sudden, and if you have the instincts, they kick in of, okay, I'll pull out far enough, I can see you, and you like do like this weird zipping around other cars and stuff, as long as people see you. And you use the hell out of your bell, you know, just so people can hear you. But yeah, it's kind of a cool film, just from the standpoint of what, you know, could be done, you know, visually, you know, as far as like chase scenes and stuff. You know.
So you've seen it, right?
Yeah. I liked it.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't see it going direct to DVD simply because David Koepp was the director.
Yeah, it played here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it played here too. But it was here like a week.
But it, like I said, it's like, okay, you had Breaking Away. Like I said, that whole bike genre thing just doesn't play out. You had Breaking Away.
What was it, Quicksilver?
Quicksilver.
I was thinking the Kevin Bacon film.
Oh my God, American Flyers. Trust me, I've seen all the bike fucking films. American Flyers.
Whoa.
Oh, I know, it's illegal. But anyway, I've seen those things. And it just doesn't, it doesn't hold. It's because it's too strange. It's kind of too alien. Everybody knows cars. You know, people really still don't understand the whole bike. And you're talking, even off of bike society people, you have your hipster fixed wheeled people. These are the people that like to pretty much ride around on track bikes, which means it's a fixed wheel. There's no brakes. You have your Lance Armstrong cross, you know.
Doping,
yes. He should be forgotten about. I love that line. No. Rob, I've never liked the man.
I never have either. Thank you.
From the first race, I knew there was something not quite right.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Can we just blame Phil Crow like everyone else does?
Anyway, you have the people that do triathlons and stuff, and then you have like the regular commuter people. And so it's like a whole weird mixed bag that to do a bike film never really nobody understands it. And you're only gonna get people that like
Dear God.
Because that's the type of music that are in bike films.
God. I'm not having any luck with flyovers at all.
That is a that was the Bollywood version of.
I mean, all right, look at they even did a race between some BMX racers on Top Gear.
Oh, BMX Bandits! You forgot. Yes. BMX Bandits.
And they beat them, didn't they? Or they came in really close.
No, the bike guys beat James because it was a Fiat, wasn't it?
Yes. So that was funny. So it's one of those things. I knew it wasn't going to, you know, I went to see it because I like, you know, to see what people do with, bike films anyway. Because I remember Quicksilver was really cool because they actually had some of the top track racers in that film. And I forgot what there was the one black guy who was really he was from the Bronx and he was on the Olympic team and stuff. And he was a really good velodrome racer. Anyway, that was, you know, at that time, it's like, ooh, I knew all, you know, who to look for in films and stuff. I couldn't tell you anybody now, but, you know, so that's why it didn't go so well, because people don't understand bikes. There you go.
Well, there you go. And there you have it.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. No, that's not it. Nice.
All right. I'm going now.
All right. Recommendations, then. Who wants to go first?
I'll go.
All right. Tom Lane.
All right. So we're getting to a couple of different areas of what's happening this week. First of all, I think we've already previewed this. There should be hockey now, and there isn't. Thank you, NHL and the NHLPA. So in that case, I am playing right now NHL 12 from EA Sports. I know 13's out. Thank you, Internet. But 13's out, but I don't have it yet. I have it for the PS3. You can play – I think there is a Winter Classic mode on here, which is actually pretty cool. So I've been playing around with that.
Toughly, did you hear about the one bar who has the –
That walked into a guy.
No. There was a bar in the Midwest, and what they did was they actually were showing a game from an Xbox. And they actually got some real announcers to announce the game.
Yeah.
I forgot.
The cool thing that you can do is you can set it up for simulation. You can set it up for simulation where it's basically the Xbox playing itself.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, you can set it up for the Xbox playing itself, and you can just run an entire season like that, which may be happening.
Wow.
But to carry on, we are getting to Halloween, and I am running through the games right now. Left 4 Dead, I mentioned earlier, Left 4 Dead 2. The ones that we're actually going to recommend, though, Dead Rising and Dead Rising 2. Which are the you are stuck in an enclosed space with zombies and you have to kill all of them kind of game, which really is really the fun of the game. You don't really need to get into the missions or really care. The fun part is killing zombies in the most creative ways possible, and that's always fun. And then I was going to go with why not Ghostbusters the video game. This came out. Oh, I want to say. Couple of years ago?
Something like that.
I want to say 2009, 2010 maybe. Kind of got overlooked when it came out, and I don't know why, because it's a really well done Ghostbusters game. And it has the benefit of being the only new Ghostbusters that Bill Murray will ever be in. So there you go. I do have a album to recommend. Oh, the Ghostbusters game is available on all the platforms, I think. 360 and PS3. The Wii one's a little weird, but then everything on the Wii is a little stripped down and weird anyway. So, the album I was going to recommend, which kind of fits into the whole Halloween theme, kind of, sort of, not really. The latest album from Band of Skulls, it's called Sweet Sour. I've been kind of into this. I've been back into this whole guitar rock, straight ahead guitar rock kind of thing. And, Band of Skulls really, really check all those, the list off on that. So it's a really good album. It's called Sweet Sour. It's pretty freaking good hard rock. So check that out.
All right. Is that done?
That was it. That's it.
Okay, cool. For me. Thank you, Tuffley. All right, who's next? Okay, go, Rob.
I will recommend the new Dum Dum Girls EP, End of Days. It's the Dum Dum Girls are fun. It's sort of cross between shoegazer music and girl punk, and they do a cover of Strawberry Switchblade, which is always good. So I recommend that. It's actually very, 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 very fun. And it's only five songs, so if you hate it, it's there also, you go. You don't feel terrible because it's like five songs. So they're sort of bringing back this idea of doing an EP, which just kind of gotten lost on people, but it's still nonetheless pretty awesome. The other cool thing is they released this thing back when I just started doing college radio, and then it's a really neat compilation film and record called Athens, Georgia Inside Out. And it's a bunch of the bands from Athens that are not REM, like Pylon and bands like that. I mean, REM's on it. REM does a really great cover of the Everly Brothers. All I have to do is Dream. But you get the disc, you get an extra tracks on the disc, and then you also get the movie as well. And that's been reissued. It's been out of print for quite a while. But it's a really nice sort of look at Athens, Georgia in the 80s and the bands coming out of there, you know, Love Tractor, Pylon, stuff like that.
Was that the People magazine doing that?
What now?
Was that the people from the Flagpole magazine doing that?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
But it's really good. It's really, really good. And it's nice because, I mean, there's a couple REM songs that are not strictly built around them, which is nice. And it's just a really, like the Pylon and Love Tractor stuff on it's really, really solid. So I do recommend that. I also recommend the new book by Peter Ackroyd called Foundation. It's a history of England up until the Tudors. So I think he's doing a multi-volume history of England set is basically the vibe I'm getting. But yeah, and Peter Ackroyd, who doesn't write bad books. If you've read his book on Underground London, if you've read the history of the Thames, everything he's done is just really incredible, and this history of early England is actually quite cool. So I do recommend that. It's knockdown awesome. And also, for people that want to know anything about what it was like back in the day, the Encyclopedia of New Wave is out. So all these new wave bands that come and went, somebody's finally painstakingly took the efforts to make an encyclopedia about who they are, what albums they made, and all of that, and it's surprisingly denser than I would have thought it was, but I do recommend that.
What's an encyclopedia?
Sorry, go ahead.
What's an encyclopedia?
Exactly. It's, you know, like Wikipedia, but you read it, and it's right. So.
Oh!
I hope that's
tell us more that. About this encyclopedia, oh wizard.
Well, you could look it up in your Wagnalls, but you'd have to buy them.
They don't even make
or take anymore. Penicillin for them.
That's
but it being Halloween, I do want to recommend the awesomely great, it's The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, now on Blu-ray.
Does it really need to be on Blu-ray?
No, but
you can see
nice.
All the hand-drawn little mistakes now.
Yeah, I mean, there's an ongoing debate about Blu-rays because, like, for example, they're only releasing one of the classic Doctor Who's on Blu-ray. because it was shot on film. The rest of them, they're like, it's not going to look any different on Blu-ray. We're not putting it out on Blu-ray. So there's this ongoing battle of what do you do with, like, old TV shows and things. But something like, you know, hey, dude, it's the Great Pumpkin. Come on. And the extras on it are pretty cool. So I recommend that. And then speaking of Doctor Who, I was going to do something for the Halloween thing for Need Coffee, but I just don't know if it'd be that interesting. Trying to do like a thing of like Halloween-y Doctor Who, classic Doctor Who stories. You could go Brain of Morbius, which was from Tom Baker's first season. And it's basically their play on Frankenstein. And it's just the acting in it is very over the top and very weird and very strange and goofy, but it's still fun. So I do want to recommend Brain of Morbius. And then more recently, this story was actually much scarier than you might have expected. Colin Baker's Vengeance on Varos. Special edition. And basically, it's interesting because it sort of takes this thing was done, you know, in the mid-80s, but it pretty much now, everything in it, reality TV and, you know, people voting for things on TV, what happens to people on TV, is done in a bizarrely strange and interesting new twist, and it's just dark and creepy, and maybe the best of the Six Doctor stories that's outside of maybe Attack of the Cybermen that's out. So I do recommend that, Vengeance on Varos. And, you know, if you just see that, if you see one Six Doctor story, you could probably see that and be okay. So, and if you're going to be in Atlanta, he's going to be in Atlanta in May for Time Gate. So, there you go. I think that's it for me.
You know, we were talking about Horror Fang Rock earlier.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty creepy.
Yeah, it is.
So's the
Talons and Wang Chiang.
Yeah, there's also a special edition of Talons and Wang Chiang that's out too. That's really good. They cleaned up the prints and they got better features on it and stuff. Yeah. Also quite good.
Yeah, all right. I like that.
Cool, but thanks, Rob.
Fang Rock was surprisingly scary considering how crap the aliens were.
Yeah, they were kind of crap.
It was a gel and mold.
Yes, but it would creep up the side.
Leela was defending the lighthouse against a jello mold, basically.
In cellophane. Don't forget it was wrapped in like cellophane.
I remember the tagline for that show. It was watch it wiggle, see it jiggle, smooth and deadly. Jell-O brand gelatin. Mm-hmm. So anyway.
That's why you never put Mountain Dew in your gelatin, kids.
Do you like my sweater? All right. Rox, what have you got?
Okay. I saw the trailer for the, what is it? The Guardians Rise? Yeah. Rise of the Guardians. And I'm like, ooh, that looks so cool. Because you know me, I love a story where somebody saves Christmas and stuff. I'm all over that. So I did some research and I found out it's based on the Guardians, the Guardians of Children or something by William Joyce. And I've been a fan of his for a long time without really following his stuff all the time. And like the first thing I found was Santa Calls, which is about this kid from Texas that gets a note from Santa and he takes his friends from Arlene, Texas up to the North Pole to save Santa and the North Pole. So that's really cool. The cool thing is the artwork in Santa Calls was so cool that Saks Fifth Avenue in 95 or something had him do the window displays. So there were like all these live, you know, these cool models based on this book. And the artwork's great. It's almost like, you know, Chris Allsburg, I think, that did Jumanji and stuff. It's that kind of caliber work. So anyway, the stories he has that I picked up is Nicholas St. North and the Battle of the Nightmare King. Basically the
Rise of the Guardians is like a separate story. It's based on the three books. There's Aster, Bunnyman, and the Warrior Eggs at the center of the core, at the Earth's core. So basically you have St. Nicholas, you have the Easter Bunny, you have Jack Frost, and they're all guardians, you know, to protect children. So I picked up the books and they're great. I mean, I'm right in the middle of the first one and it's, they're young adult, probably younger, you know, but they're around 400 pages. So they're actually little, you know, they're novels and they're really so cool because it's exciting. So you have Jack Frost, you have, you know, Nicholas, St. Nicholas. So that's really cool. So that's what I'm going for. And if you want to throw in Santa Claus, that's cool too. But yeah, I'm looking forward to Rise of the Guardians and that's done by Dreamscape or, what is it? Who's doing that?
DreamWorks.
Yeah. Yeah. So, oh, and William, Joyce had, he gotten what an Academy for, what was that? The Fantastic Flying Books of Mr. Morris Lesmore.
Oh, right. Yes.
Yes.
That's genius.
So it's that guy. So this guy does know how to tell a story. And I'm kind of excited over this. Hopefully this film will go really well because I just like that idea. I also have another book. I have The Return of the Dapper Men by Jim McCain and the artwork by Janet Lee. She was at Dragon Con and she does a lot of, her influence is Winsor McCay, the 1900 cartoonist who created, Little Nemo in Slumberland. So the story is a town where none of the children age beyond 11. And then, you know, they're always making stuff and stuff, like robots and whatnot. And so they all live cohesively. And then all of a sudden, 314 dapper men with their hats come to this village. And it's a moral tale, but the artwork is amazing in it. Like I said, it's heavily influenced by Winsor McCay, who everybody should know anyway. Please put down in the show notes that we got a really cool book, a zine from Microcosm. They've been now supplying me with stuff to review. And the one for this week, Rob, this should be in any post-apocalyptic backpack. It is Make It Last. And it's by Raleigh Briggs. She is a DIYer out of... out of Seattle, Washington. And this is, I think, her second publication of this. This is really cool. For those people that don't know any, you know, how to sew and stuff, it covers the basics. It's called Prolonging Preserving the Things We Love. You have a backpack, it's falling apart. You could learn to sew. You don't need stitch witchery because she shows you the basics. She covers sewing, food items so that, you know, if you're in an apocalyptic world, if you want, you could make how to salt fish, how to make your own vinegars, canning. There you go. In the world of the zombies, you can learn how to can your fruits and vegetables when they come to grow. You can make pickles, shows you how to make sauerkraut as well. Also, your home ec stuff, sort of how to handle those squeaky doors so that when you open a door, you can't, you know, the zombie won't know you're there. So it shows you how to do that. So, Microcosm has been really nice on sending me stuff. So this one, I saw what this one was. I didn't even ask for this. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so awesome because it has a really cool way of how to darn socks and stuff. because you sort of weave. You weave a new patch over the hole in your sock and stuff. So,
no Bobby.
Well, you need that egg, that darning for darning eggs. You need one of those, but no bobbing, weaving. Yeah. So yes, make it last. And it shows you, and she even talks about how to make something waterproof too. So handy little book. And it's not that big. It's almost like 4 1/4, 5 1/2, more squarish. So it will fit in your backpack when you have to run out of your house because there's a zombie apocalypse. Done.
All right. Thank you, Rox.
Mm-hmm.
All right, John, what have you got?
I have this really cool website. It's called neatcoffee.com. And if you go to neatcoffee.com/Amazon, you can buy stuff there. It's the Amazon site that's there is run completely by neatcoffee.com. Don't believe the hype that there's some other site behind that. And I know it's going to look a lot like the regular Amazon, but that's not the case at all. It actually is Amazon, not Amazon. Need coffee, need something. Words, and I'm done.
All right. So, yes, as John was kind enough to point out in his inimitable fashion. Yes, if you go to needcoffee.com/Amazon for any of the things that you've heard recommended to you this evening, or whenever the hell you're listening to this. Or that you were going to buy anyway. Those are our favorite kinds of things. You go to Amazon, like you would gone there anyway, and you were going to buy it anyway, and we get kickbacks and everybody's happy. So, that helps keep the lights on, and we appreciate in advance, your help with that. Needcoffee.com/Amazon. Now for my recommendation, I'm going to go with the Blu-ray release of Beatles Magical Mystery Tour. Which has basically their, short TV movie that they did, which was sort of kind of based on the album and sort of kind of based on whatever. It's very strange. And, it's actually, they've done a really good job of restoring it, considering what they had to work with. But
yeah. Wasn't it kind of based on Goon Show?
Well, they pulled in a bit of stuff from everywhere. For example, Victor Spinetti, was on hand to do basically his bit from, Oh, What a Lovely War.
Yeah.
So they pulled in whoever they could. It's very sketchy from a, like sketch show-ish.
Yeah.
So,
cause it had a really good, it had kind of a Goon Show. The closest thing that kind of felt like a Goon Show kind of feel to it.
Yeah, but even more disjointed. You know what I mean? It has only a rudimentary through line, whereas the thing about the Goon Show was their through line, they weren't doing different bits. It was one through line, and the bits were the characters, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, there's definitely Goon Show influence in there, I would say. But yeah, it's a bit mental. It's not like their other stuff. It's, if you go into it, expecting, another Hard Day's Night or even another Help, you're going to be like, what? But it is amusing. And, Sir Paul has a commentary track on it. So nice.
Wasn't the legend on that they actually shot it as a TV special for Christmas Day and BBC aired it on Christmas Day and it completely bombed?
You know, I have not heard that. I have not heard that, but I
people
would not
like
be surprised.
People like switched off like 5 minutes into it because nobody understood what it was supposed to be.
Yeah, it is weird as hell.
Yeah,
it's
because it was like a Christmas special for the BBC.
I had not.
Yeah,
I didn't remember that bit. I wouldn't be surprised. But no, it is very, very strange. And if you're a Beatles fan, you should check it out. Cause there's some making of stuff on here. And like I said, it looks actually really good. So, not my favorite. I think Help is still my favorite, but, it's worth watching. So there you go. Magical Mystery Tour on Blu-ray, out from EMI.
Hey, Widge.
Hey, Rob.
I completely forgot I saw Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Oh, how was that?
It was great.
Oh, okay.
It was silly and stupid and fun. So that's it.
Well, that's what you want. No, that's fine. That's fine. The review is in. All right. So I think with that bombshell, we've come to the end of another episode of Weekend Justice. And I think, you know, honestly, we've reached a point in the proceedings where, just like every week, we should say, oh, Bigfoot.
Ooh, Bigfoot.
Where?
Are you sure that's Bigfoot? That could be just, you know, a bug or something. Like, it's really big every fucking other bug.
Where's
every
Bigfoot?
Other episode. They are, there are big hairy bugs. They exist. That's real.
Yeah.
Like 6 foot tall big hairy bugs?
Yes. Some of them have been given British television show hosts. Some of them host The X Factor. It's true.
One of them's got a dragon tongue.
Actually, I think I don't think that was a giant bug. I think that was actually Kevin Peter Hall in costume.
Oh, really? Oh. Yeah. I always get that mixed up.
I know. I do, too.
Especially because I asked the bug for an autograph.
And what did Herbie say?
He said, get me away from Lindsay Lohan, for fuck's sake. Sorry, I know we've all tried to put that out of our minds, but it weighs on me. So, there you go. That's as good a point to end it as any.
Yeah.
And it ends in a non sequitur. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, sorry.
That's what we do.
Sorry.
So will there be, like, Bigfoot tours? Just like there's ghost tours everywhere now?
God.
Yeah, this is the question. I haven't seen anything, but are they doing the Walking Dead tour right now?
I think they are. I went to the website on one of these episodes, and they didn't have a lot of information about where they would take you, but they have all kinds of movie tours here. So,
well, I know they do, but I didn't know if they were specifically doing the Walking Dead thing right now.
Oh, you mean like Halloween-ish?
Yeah.
They would be crazy not to, because, I mean, it's airing and it's fucking Halloween, so.
Yeah.
That would be interesting. Although I do wish I could check out the Walking Dead haunted house. That's,
well, you know, now they're having those 5K runs.
Yeah.
That's zombies.
Only at the LA one, right? That's only at the Los Angeles one. It's not the Florida one, right?
I think that's right. Now, Rox, I would fucking love to, like, do one of those 5K zombie runs, but I could just see fucking up my knee. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
well,
I don't,
but then you could drag your foot like a zombie.
Well, yeah. No, Widge needs his knee for when he tries to do the 3-point shots.
I don't want to drag my, you know, leg behind me for 3 kilometers. That sounds like an ass.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, because all you need is somebody scaring you and you're going to turn your ankle. I can see a lot of people getting hurt.
God, you know what? I'm pissed. I didn't even get a chance to ask you, Rox, about, we talked about bikes, but I didn't get your take on the Lance Armstrong thing.
Oh,
Well, she kind of did, though.
I kind of did, because I love what the person in Switzerland said. He needs to be forgotten.
I concur.
There you go.
I maintain that I blame Sheryl Crow for all of this.
Excuse me, but he left her as soon as she got breast cancer. I'm gone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Total dick. He's been a total dick from the get. I mean, he left his first wife after he got cancer, or after he was cured and everything.
Did he party with Newt Gingrich?
Yeah, pretty much. He's that bad. You know, the thing is, I don't want to launch into this because he just is so horrible. Always has been. You know, he's just one guy won a stage on his team. Okay, and this is the type of dick he is. Instead of letting this guy bask in the glory of winning a stage and the next day gets to wear a yellow jersey, he still made this poor guy do all the grunt work and shit. You know, because he's like the guy, you know, when you have a team, those are the people that go and get the, they make sure that your lead is still ahead. They're a defense, but they also are the ones that bring up water sacks and you know, food and stuff to the other riders. And he was such an asshole. He is an asshole. He should be forgotten. He orchestrated his team to cheat. And the thing is I never care about the Tour de France because oddly enough, it is a corporate race. It's just like all the other stuff. It's a moneymaker. I don't pay attention to our sports because it's just a money juggernaut. So I don't really care. So I never really paid attention to, you know, the whole sport thing because it's just annoying. Now, the cool thing about this whole we should forget about it is all the people, because out of the years that he has been cheating, it is all now a black hole. So all the people below him that came in second and third, they are not allowing that. Everybody is stricken from this.
Well, no, because it's kind of like, remember Milli Vanilli's Grammy win?
Yeah.
They didn't reissue that.
Yeah. See, they're not going to allow the people to move up in the standings. They're just leaving it all black. And that's fine. I'm happy with that. So that means my favorite, which was Greg LeMond, will still be, you know, the better cyclist.
Amen, Rob, sister.
I'm really
but you don't
want
to go into it, right?
Up.
So, anyway, that's my tirade on Lance Armstrong, who should be forgotten.
I've already forgotten him.
Okay, good. Now we can go.
Who?
Okay.
Oh. Okay. Good night.
What?
Give me just a minute while I clarify.
Hi there. Many of you know me as the half-assed engineer John on Need Coffee's Weekend Justice podcast. But what most of you don't know is that before I was internationally known by tens of people, I was a patient at the Sleep Deprivation Institute, known as NeedCoffee.com. NeedCoffee.com has provided me and many of you with hundreds of hours of therapy through engaging rants, dreamcasts, reviews, contests, news of the offbeat and cool, and of course, more information about caffeine than was really necessary. Why, without Need Coffee, I might have actually seen Starship Troopers 4 bugging out. Thank you, Need Coffee, for saving me from that fate. Now, all this goodness does come at a cost, so the fine folks at Need Coffee are asking for your help. Please head over to needcoffee.com/memberships to learn what you can do to keep this invaluable resource alive. Your contribution not only will allow for more great content and more chances to win free shit, but it might just save a kitten. So as you sit there, listening to this podcast, this free podcast, sipping on your $8 Café de Frou-Frou, think about what you could have done with that money instead. Sure, you could have donated to some worthy cause, or you could keep Need Coffee and kittens alive. Your choice. Visit needcoffee.com/memberships for more details. Oh, crap. Did I record that?
And here's Dakota.